This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. No. Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. Well, he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call them the Dork.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here, and the hot stove is boiling over here in New England and elsewhere in the NFL.
Rocco Baldelli?
It's almost like all the news has nothing to do with the playoff games coming up. It's all off-season movement.
Well, they're
already.
Not that intriguing playoff games.
You're right, Fred.
Well,
I think there's more interest in the movement than the games.
I think now if we lived in one of the cities involved, it might be different. But otherwise, you know, all we're hearing is who's going where and who's not going where. And so that's what we'll be talking about today. And other news, Pac-Man Jones getting released by the Cowboys.
Big surprise. Patriots fans want him.
Well, he's not a bad guy.
Oh, he might not be, but he's not a very good player at this point.
But a lot to talk about, and we're going to do it all here in the next 2 hours.
I like the new disclaimer.
You like that?
Yeah, good job by two gentlemen.
Yeah, I think we've been talking about doing it for a long time, and I think we finally got it.
Now we can't get in trouble.
Well, we could still get in trouble.
We could do that. But
at least we've given people fair warning, you know. Excuse me.
Speaking of which.
Offense number one.
Well, these Pepsi O's have a lot of bubbles in them.
Don't like Pepsi.
No, Paul, this isn't bad. I like this.
By the way, Paul is the one with the sensitive Pepsi palate.
Is it Pepsi O or Pepsi Zero?
I think it's Zero, but Andy, have
this
you
No, it's
no
just
different.
Diet Pepsi.
This is Diet
have
Pepsi.
You noticed the logo change?
I was going to say, have you heard the controversy about the logo?
Yeah, because they're trying to be Obama.
What does that mean? They've changed the logo slightly to make it look more like Barack Obama's logo during the election.
Speaking of Barack Obama.
Really? Have you heard about that? Yeah,
no.
and they also might
stop drinking Pepsi.
They also have a campaign slogan that says "Hope" with the logo in the middle, which is identical, except for the logo, to what Obama had during one of his.
Oh, I think they should just call it change then. Right. But anyway, it's just Diet Pepsi, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm reading that now, Paul. I thought it was one of those zero calorie real soda things that you know, like Coke Zero.
Zero cals, carbs, and sugar.
Yeah,
it's
that's
Diet Pepsi.
Right.
The new bottle has thrown us for a loop, Fred. It's Diet Pepsi.
Right.
They're just marketing it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
But, I didn't. If there is a difference between this and regular, then I have not.
This is Diet Pepsi. I thought it was Pepsi Zero. It's not.
There is a Pepsi Zero, isn't there?
There's a Coke Zero.
I don't know if there's a Pepsi Zero. All right, that's right. Coke Zero.
Do you like that?
Nah, not really.
I think I need my fat.
I think the diet.
Get in my belly.
As far as Coke versus Pepsi goes, Diet Pepsi is better than Diet Coke. Okay. But as far as regular Pepsi versus regular Coke, Coke wins.
I disagree.
I don't care what you think.
If you haven't noticed that by now.
Coke beats Pepsi, you know, straight up
You're
any day.
You're a fool.
I'm not a fool.
You are a fool.
Pepsi is for little kids and pedophiles.
Oh!
And Paul's not a little kid, so.
No, he likes Diet Pepsi. He doesn't drink regular Pepsi.
But I used to like Pepsi.
Before
I got off the
in
real
the
stuff.
In the can.
Well.
Be quiet, three.
Why do they change their logo so often, though?
Isn't
Coca-Cola been the same forever?
No, Pepsi's been the way it is for a long time, and Coke changed after a certain amount of years.
I feel like Pepsi changes pretty regularly.
Yeah,
because my mother's
they're
a Pepsi
playing
drinker.
Catch up to Coke. They're number two.
That's true.
Maybe they're number two because they change the logo all the time.
Maybe.
Keep the same
damn. But it's number. Because
it probably cost them like $20 million to change their logo or
it's
something.
It's also a number two that's not all that bad.
No.
I mean, it's kind of like McDonald's and Burger King. Right. I mean, I assume McDonald's is one, Burger King is two, but really is,
All right.
Burger King's doing all right.
It's not like Best Buy and Circuit City where two is sort of going away.
Zero. What does he say in
having problems over there.
Second place is first loser. What's that movie?
So how long are we going here?
Ricky Bobby?
Yeah, Ricky.
Talladega Nights.
All right, let's get up to speed here with football stuff.
Well, I do agree with your premise, Fred.
Yes.
A lot more interest in the movement.
Sure.
Yeah. It just seems it's getting more headlines.
And right, it's all Patriots, and there's a Patriot rumored to go somewhere. Between Castle, Pioli, and McDaniels, there's a pretty – and Mangini by extension.
No, now Mangina's going to
but
Cleveland.
But even here, like on SportsCenter right now, Ed Werder is in Texas, you know, talking about Terrell Owens' status for next season.
Always in Texas.
They had the big – but SportsCenter is showing it right now. They're not showing, you know, Sal Palantonio at the Meadowlands with the Phillies-Giants game.
Thank God.
Right.
Which is a great – I mean, I think that's a great playoff matchup. But,
absolutely.
But nobody wants to
you
see
got Pac-Man Jones. Well, we all know that. And I had your back on that.
You certainly did.
You've done good on that.
Certainly
you've done
did.
Real good
Thank
on
you.
That one. We don't like Sal Pal here at the – is that another one part of the disclaimer? We're just throwing a disclaimer
on
there. So I think that rather than talking about the playoff games, and I don't think that they're necessarily all bad games. I think Carolina-Arizona might be a stink bomb.
But this stuff is very compelling.
Pittsburgh-San Diego – Giants, Giants, Philadelphia. I think those are two excellent matchups.
Plus, it
and Baltimore, Tennessee.
Half
is a pretty
the league
good matchup.
Is ensnared in them in some way.
Well, that's why I think
if you go to Giants, you have your defensive coordinator could go.
There's
you.
A lot of ripple effects.
There's always the coaching. There's always four or five coaching jobs open. But now this year, it seems like the GM jobs is just as many of those.
Right.
And there's also, depending on who gets some of these GM jobs, there could be more coaches out. You know, if Pioli, which, you know, we'll bring it back to the Patriots, Pioli is still in the mix, I guess, in Kansas City. Some people think that that's going to happen. I guess kind of our version of Kansas City, I think it's called Warpath.
Their newspaper.
Team newspaper. Yeah. Their editor, I guess, reported late last night that it's a done deal, that Scott Pioli is the guy.
Really?
I wouldn't expect Herm Edwards to stay if Scott Pioli's quote-unquote the guy.
Because he
said
he wants
to go
and choose.
There's more coaching things to come.
Plus, these decisions have to be made relatively soon because teams want to hit the ground running. As soon as the Super Bowl's over,
you've got
to get ready for the free agency, the draft. So you got to have your people in place. So there's going to be activity very soon, whether it's today, this week, next week. It's going to happen.
How about the fact that Al Davis has yet to interview anyone?
Oh, my God.
Tom Cable's going to sit down with him this week. They have yet to interview anyone outside the organization.
What a mess.
Although Rob Ryan is leaving to go join Mangini in Cleveland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know
as soon
that.
As his contract runs out. And Brian Daboll is supposedly going to join as offensive coordinator. Based on those two things, it sounds like Romeo has decided not to stay in Cleveland as the coordinator, so maybe he could be returning here.
So there's a lot of movement, and of course, we mentioned it. Mangini was announced as the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. News kind of got confirmed last night, but this morning, and I guess they're going to have a press conference today in Cleveland.
They did this morning, didn't they?
They already,
it already
have
happened.
I thought I saw quotes from him talking
may have
about
already happened.
Truth in sports was some like his.
I don't see it on the rundown on SportsCenter's thing here.
Oh, they're in Dallas. You
know, well, now we have Brett Favre status coming up.
Oh, well, God.
He started to talk to the Biloxi paper or whatever.
By the way, great quote by him. Just in case anyone didn't think that he was a selfish guy, the only one I let down was myself.
Wow.
I have a high standard that I, blah, blah, blah. The only one I let down was myself.
Well, maybe somebody can remind
I think Eric Mangini might have a different opinion of that.
Somebody related to the New York team, I don't know if it was a player or somebody, had a quote today that was on Pro Football Talk that says, people like Brett Favre because he goes out there with his gray hair and he gets knocked down and he gets back up. But at the end of the day, he's a very selfish player. And that was a quote that came out of New York.
Got to give former friend of the show, Mike Felger, some credit on that one. He was
still a friend of the show.
Well, because he doesn't come on here and yell at you anymore, which I used to enjoy that segment on Fridays. But he was well ahead of the curve on that. He used to rail Andy and I with these stories of
break.
Brett Favre's myth. Remember he used to call it the myth of Brett Favre, Andy? And that goes back as long as Felger's been around Foxborough. That goes back to like 99.
As long as Felger's been
long time.
A stockholder in the company.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, if this is any indication, he said in that local story in Mississippi – that I'll take some
time.
They
must love this, by the way.
Oh, like, yeah.
Once a year, they become like relevant. They're on ESPN's ticker nonstop.
I will take some time and make my decision. I do know that I enjoy being at home. Well, a lot of other people do too, Brett. He said,
he has to inject some venom.
When I got traded, I thought it was worth a try. I gave it my all. It just didn't work out. He's using a lot of past tense there, which I like.
But I wouldn't say with him means anything.
No, it doesn't. Clearly doesn't.
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I think I always will be a Packer.
Todd Porter writes in, if Dan wrote the new warning that we played before the show, good job, funny, and still effective.
Did you write it, Dan? Well done. I agree. I kind of thought Fred might have.
Fred put in gutter cleaners.
Oh, I didn't even hear gutter cleaners.
I made some other edits, but mostly it was him.
I liked the Bill Polian by name. I liked some of that stuff.
The Bill Polian thing.
Todd,
I big points for that.
Todd, a quick message out to you in your ongoing feud with Chris Ferrera.
Oh, this is big news.
Sources close to the situation are reporting that when he was in college, Chris Ferrera colored his hair. And not because he was going gray at an early age.
Nope.
But because he had reddish auburn hair and just didn't like it.
Didn't
so
know
that
he was so
diet brown. Gay.
So, you know, he and his friends would stop by CVS on a Friday night and pick up a little hair color and have a little tea party together.
Then go.
That's a tea bag party.
Then they'd go knock off a Frito-Lay factory. And
all right, now he's going to get mad at you guys. We probably should send a thank you out to Chris with a TIAN.
Chris with a TIAN with today's lunch from D'Angelo's.
Right.
Thank you very much, Christian.
Excellent. Thank you.
Now we have energy to do the show.
Yes.
Unlike
you thought
Tuesday.
We were good on Tuesday. Wait till you see what we got for you today.
Absolutely.
We got soap with a slot.
We kind of skipped past McDaniels, but there were reports. Now, he's supposedly going to Friday interview with the Rams. He'd already interviewed with Cleveland and the Broncos. There were reports out of Denver, or rumors, that he was the front runner for the Broncos job and was already formulating a staff that would include Dom Capers as his defensive coordinator. So, I don't know if it's true or not. It's just
God, I hope not. I really want to keep McDaniels. Just give me one more year, Josh. You'll get another job. Give me one more year.
Well, didn't we talk about that the other day with Jason Garrett? You don't always get another year. Sometimes you got to strike while the iron's hot.
But Fred,
but Fred's being selfish. He's just looking at it. I want the guy to stay here because that makes the team better.
And I agree with you. He's been a great coach. But when Charlie Weiss left for Notre Dame, wasn't there some hand wringing and gnashing of teeth that, oh, what are we going to do without Charlie?
Yes.
And McDaniels came on and did the job.
Right. You can make the same argument. Well, they did they got Castle, they did all right. They did McDaniels, they did all right. The next guy will be all right. But
how many times are you going to go to the well and just keep hoping?
I just want to have the same offensive coordinator for one more year with
to try to
Ross
win another
back
Super Bowl.
And, you know, because basically
Fred's apparently blowing it up after next season.
No, the offense is stable except for the running backs, you know, position. I think it's stable. You're going to either have Brady or you're going to have Castle.
Or neither.
What if you don't have either one in 2000?
I think you'll have one or the other.
I agree with that.
But the fact that all three of those are possibilities kind of lends to it's not all that stable.
I know, but I look at the offense as, boy, you know, we can really focus on the defense this offseason. The offense is pretty good. You know, if we see somebody we like, yeah, absolutely, we'll grab them if it's an upgrade. But the way it is constituted right now, we'll go into 09 with a pretty damn good offense. So I want to keep as much of that together as possible.
And look, the offense didn't fall off when Charlie Weiss left.
No, it didn't.
And so
yes, it did.
Yeah, it did.
No, but I mean,
it wasn't all the offensive coordinator's fault.
No.
Right.
It's mostly
need I say Richey, Caldwell.
Right.
But it had nothing to do with McDaniel's ability.
That's
at
correct.
The time.
That's
no.
Right.
So if they, it wasn't. Yeah. No, right. I agree with you on that.
So if anything, it may have had to do with
two things:
restraints. No,
yes,
I'm not even going there.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, sort of. They didn't change anything for Matt Castle, but we know they did because early on they weren't doing the things they were doing later.
Right.
There may have been, even with the play calling, the offensive coordinator, some limitations imposed by Bill and the staff that were sort of unhandcuffed later on.
Yeah.
Sure. And if, let's say, the scenario plays out, he leaves and they do promote from within, if they promote from within, you'd have to just give them you'd have to assume that there's going to be that continuity because there's already a guy familiar with the system.
Right.
It's not much is going to change.
Does
Fred,
he have the
think.
Relationship with the quarterbacks? You know,
no.
There's a lot. There's a lot that goes into it.
I don't want Josh to go, but I am fairly confident with Bill.
Oh, I am too.
He finds a way.
I just.
Belichick.
just give me one more year of the same.
I don't think
Paul, I'm
get
moving
it,
on
Fred.
To my next offensive coordinator that I give BJ's every week.
Andy's very high on Bill O'Brien.
I am.
Yeah.
I really
and there
like
are some,
I think
there
good,
are some
good guy too.
There is
very
some stuff in his resume that would lead you to believe that he could do this.
Hey, he could come in and do even a better job. We don't know.
He could.
I don't know if he's ready. He hasn't been here that long. He's only been here for 2 years.
Well, you know, Bill, knowing Bill and the way he thinks ahead, one of the reasons why he probably brought him in here is because he knew Josh McDaniels isn't here forever.
Right.
He's eventually going to be moving on.
I mean, Bill has said it. Bill has, when he has praised him, has said, in so many words, he's going to make a great head coach someday. He's one of the best coaches I've ever worked with. I believe he used the phrase last year, one of the best coaches I've ever worked with, young or otherwise, or something
I
like
think
that,
he did.
Where he said he's just one of the best.
Wow.
And, I mean,
he's,
obviously
he's
30
just like Belichick.
5 years,
He is Bill Belichick 30 years younger, or 25 years younger, whatever the difference in their ages is. He's very, very similar to Bill. The way
and
he
I
goes
think
about
that's
his
why
business.
Bill really likes him, because the father angle.
I think that angle
then
is
the scouting angle where he did the crap work of all putting together all the.
Yeah,
you know those guys that.
Himself in him.
When Bill says December 23rd, well, you know, it's going to be a tough week for some of those guys that now have to prepare for four or five different opponents in the playoffs. That was Bill Belichick once, and that was Josh McDaniels once. And now he respects those guys that work up the ladder.
And I remember, you know, way back, God, it's got to be 6-7 years ago now at this point, doing that story with Brian Daboll and Josh McDaniels. When that and that really is exactly the way Andy just described it. It's low-level grunt work that those coaching assistants do, but it's very important work. And Bill understands, you know, how menial the task is because he did it. And I think he does have a different respect for those guys that worked their way up through that. And that's what those guys were doing when Belichick first got on the staff. That's what guys like Daboll and McDaniels were doing, and they've really worked their way up the chain.
And let's not forget that Josh also turned down the opportunity to interview, which my guess is earned him some points with Bill.
Last year.
Rather than Mangini, the first time his name is mentioned anywhere, jump ship. Not that that's wrong for him to do, but my guess is Bill respects the fact that Josh has been a little more cautious in the...
Who knows? Maybe he even went to Bill and said, hey, you know what? I'm getting offers. What do you think? I'm on the fence. And you know, maybe he talked to him about it. We don't know if Eric talked or not with Bill about all that beforehand, but...
Eric did turn down an opportunity to be a defensive coordinator the year before he became a defensive coordinator.
In Oakland, right?
Yeah, that's when Rob Ryan left.
But his first head coaching offer, he went and took.
Yes, he did.
And let's be honest, does Oakland really count as a job offer?
No, I understand, but I think that the larger point is that obviously these guys probably want to move on and move up, but the fact that they weren't so hell-bent on doing it at the first chance that they got is, I agree with Andy, it's probably another point in their favor.
On the phone is John in L.A., who continues to be our first caller of the show. John, how you doing?
Pretty good. I just along the lines of what you guys were talking about, this past season has shown us that you never know what's going to happen, but I don't think it's a terrible bet for Josh McDaniels that with Brady coming back, one assumes, that he's not going to do too much to damage his chances as a head coach next year if he does stay.
Right.
That said, I don't think he's going to stay. I think there's a good chance he goes to Denver.
Yeah, I mean, if he happens to like Denver, go, you know, because that won't be there next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's because of the organization, he should go.
If he gets an offer, I think he's going.
From Denver, sir. I mean, I think that's a good job
right.
as an offensive-minded coach.
I think that might be the
good
best job.
It's
out
a nice
of all
area.
The ones that are open.
It's. I mean, I think there's a lot of.
Is there a better
I think
job?
Bolin
than that?
Is hands-on in terms of being aggressive and hands-off in terms of letting football people do football stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of pluses to that job.
I just
I emailed Pat Bolin today and I sent him the list of all the things that Josh would need once he's there, you know, the mini fridge and the suits and all this stuff. It's a very long list, so maybe he'll look at it and say, geez, what am I getting here? And maybe he won't.
All of a sudden the reports are going to come out that the demands were outrageous.
Right, exactly.
Is there a better job available? I didn't mean to step on you, Andy.
Is there a better job
than Denver?
I tell you, that's a great organization.
I don't think there is.
Well, I was hearing about, you know, Kansas City and the way the Hunt family deals with people there and how they're
patient.
Very loyal. So
yeah.
I think
they have a good fan base, too.
I think Kansas City's an underrated good job because I think they have a lot of good young talent. But I don't think they have something that's very important that Denver has, and that's Jay Cutler.
And
well,
they
that's,
also
no,
have
that's true.
A running back who doesn't want to be a Chief,
right.
which is an issue.
Yeah, but
not a terrible
they have
one.
Younger,
but,
they have young running backs that are pretty
no,
good.
No, I know, but you
like,
just have
remember
to,
Bill, they just run one after I mean, another out there.
You're year
matter.
One into an extension that's wasted money. That's
But you look at Denver. They've got the new stadium. They've got a great fan base. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to live.
Sure.
The owner's, you know, solid.
It's a good owner. Yeah.
You know,
are they financially stable? Didn't they lay some people off?
Well, he also owns an arena
on
team,
that,
doesn't he?
Yes, there was a story about the economics, and there's a big nut on that stadium. I think
I believe
that.
They were the first to lay people off as a team, weren't they?
Maybe, but I've been to their headquarters, and it's a beautiful facility.
You have your Elway jersey on.
It really is really.
Did
nice.
You did
the
you wear the Elway
is,
jersey when you did that?
No, but the practice field Mecklenburg. Is right attached to the headquarters. It's really a nice.
Where
place.
Is their headquarters? They're not
it's
at
not
the
at stadium,
stadium, right?
No,
they're sort of in the suburbs.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
John, what do you think? Is there
away.
A better job than Denver available?
No, I don't think there. I don't think there's anything close to as good a job as Denver. I mean, I know that they sort of blew it, but I think the fact that people were surprised that Shanahan got axed is sort of telling in terms of what a good, you know, they still seem like a good team, and they're in a crappy division. Whereas Eric Mangini just signed a 4-year deal to go play. I mean, I know there's parity and everything changes from year to year, whatever. I think Pittsburgh and Baltimore for the next 4 years, that's going to be pretty tough, I think, for Mangini. Whereas this job in Denver, that's a terrible division except for San Diego.
Well, I mean, you get a layup every year with the Raiders.
The Raiders.
So that changes.
Well, and if Kansas City
Kansas
makes,
City could be markedly if, better in 2 years
exactly.
than they are right now.
If they
now.
Make the right choices now, they could be a strong contender in a year or two.
That's
so.
Why I said that kind of stuff is cyclical.
But, I mean, they have good players on offense. They were an unstoppable offense to start the year. They finished 8-8. I mean, there's a lot to say. Well, we're not that far.
And they
from
have
being
some talent on
playoffs.
Defense.
Yes,
they don't
I
have
believe
a terrible
they
defense.
Have
they have
a lot of people say it's unwinnable.
I think they have individual talent on defense.
I mean, when
I think
you have
DJ
the best
Williams,
corner in the game and of the generation,
Champ Bailey, DJ Williams. You know, Dre Bly's not a terrible corner. I know he had a bad year.
He's very good number two.
And I think their linebackers in general, they've had a hard time staying healthy, but. I don't know. We'll see.
I heard that Boland was looking for, I mean, even though he's in love with McDaniels, apparently, I heard that that they really kind of would rather hire a defensive coach because the offense, they have some young offensive coordinator that they like and that they feel like, you know, it'd be better to bring in a defensive coach, which is why I'm surprised that McDaniels continues to be on the front burner.
I think they'd be looking definitely for a proven defensive coordinator, but I right. think if you can get a young guy like McDaniels, I think you should take that.
And I believe the offensive coordinator has interviewed for the job, hasn't he?
He may have.
And
I know
sometimes if you interview for a job and don't get it, you don't go back to being the offensive coordinator. You yeah. want to move on. It's time for
and
a
the
new.
One thing that seems to be in common with all it looks like he's definitely intent on hiring a first-time
right.
coach. Head coach, because maybe finances, maybe just economics.
I read that.
And
Tomasi
wrote
other day,
that
yeah.
yesterday, I think,
well,
in the Herald.
$7 million on Shanahan for at least this year.
Well,
right.
I think with a lot of owners, about. You have to look at what was their last situation. And Boland's last situation was the guy Shanahan who we gave all the power to. So
but he
now,
had just given the power to him this year.
He just
year,
gave
though.
It, but maybe now he wants to kind of rein it back in a little bit and have a little bit more hands-on than he did before. You know, so you don't know. Maybe that's why he wants. And the economy, I think, is also. I mean, you're not going to get like a Bill Cowher for the same money you'll get Josh McDaniels.
Right. Mangini is officially the Browns coach. He's having his press conference right now.
He's having his press conference right now.
So. Easy.
Well, just sticking in the AFC West for a second, do you guys notice on the crawl on ESPN yesterday it said LT lists himself as doubtful?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 God.
Well,
what a fraud.
Well, you know, he's not that bad a guy.
Fred is currently laying the foundation for LT to come to New England because he believes there's a split in San Diego, and if he ends up here, he's already laying the groundwork for praising LT.
That he's been misunderstood.
Except he called him T.O.
Was Al Groh ever really a Belichick assistant?
I'm sorry?
No.
I mean, I know in on paper, you know, that day that maybe Bill was the Jets
well,
head coach.
Well, he was an assistant head coach with a defensive title. And Groh was a defensive coordinator.
Didn't they work
but
together?
But does that mean he was one of Belichick's assistants?
No.
Eh. They just had on ESPN.
If you went
Belichick's
down on a little
boys.
Tree, he'd be below him. Right?
Even then,
assistant
not
head
sure.
coach is.
I think to fall under the tree, you have to be the head man and have people working for you.
I'm just saying, you can spin it.
Yeah.
Is Tom Brady behind in his rehab? Maybe not.
Can we hear more about that salad wedge?
That was good stuff Tuesday.
That was good stuff.
I still call for 3 days a week. I don't care what any of the other callers
say. Will you be calling all 3 days?
Maybe, yeah.
Then we're not doing 3 days a week.
You're not going to
see you, John.
Set me up. See you later.
All right, see you, John. 508-543-7482 is the phone number, 508-543-7482.
Does Chris with a T-I-A-N have his email?
I do. I've got it. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio at patriots.com. And Chris with a T-I-A-N, who bought us lunch, does have his email.
Woohoo!
And he says, first off, I'm sorry. I called in so angry the other day, not making the playoffs for the first time since 02 with an 11-5 record stung a bit. Now it's on to 09. Fred, I'm counting on you for a slogan in 09, much like your Embrace the Hate in 08. As for Mangini, F him. I read today that he spoke to Rack.
He's not angry today.
I was going to say.
I read today that he spoke to Rack in hopes to keep him on board as D coordinator. Personally, I would like to see him back here. What do you guys think? I was also curious as to what you guys think of the following NFL transactions that got a lot of press last offseason. I guess you could answer good or bad. Number one, Brett Favre.
Oh, God.
Bad.
Good for the Patriots. Number two, Jason. Actually, bad for the Patriots.
What are we? I missed this. What are we saying, good or
is
bad?
Is this a good
last,
or bad
last
transaction?
Year's transactions, oh, okay. Offseason.
Brett Favre.
I mean, you don't even have to ask me.
Bad.
Of course.
He should not have been playing. Jason Taylor.
Good.
That was a good transaction for the Patriots.
Yeah. Well, it's not for us. Was it good for
the person,
Washington?
For the team? I think it was indifferent.
Yeah, I don't really know.
And he got a freakish, whatever it was.
Right, I'd say it was bad. I'd say it was bad.
I don't know. Did he have a bad year?
He didn't play most of the year.
Yeah.
Really?
He had a freakish blood clot.
Well, he didn't play.
I didn't know he didn't play much of the year.
Bad then overall.
He played the first game and that was it.
Really?
No. And then he came in at the end.
No.
Oh, if that's true. See, I really have no idea.
That is not accurate. That is not accurate.
How many games did he play this
year? I don't know, but it wasn't just the first
two gender. How many games did Jason Taylor play for Washington?
Look that up.
He got owned in that first game.
Is he even...
Here, pause the solitaire. Hey! Pause the solitaire game and look up.
He doesn't play solitaire.
I know I'm number one.
He's in there social networking.
Social networking.
Web 2.0.
Oh, okay.
Web 2.0.
What is Web 2.0?
Asante Samuel.
Good.
I have to say good.
Yeah.
Great.
Chad Pennington.
Great.
Good. To say great. Good. Yeah. The addition of Faneca and Woody on the Jets O-line.
Good.
Overrated. Good. But good.
Overrated.
Yeah.
Good. It was good or bad.
What does that mean?
That ain't commentary.
They had a terrible offensive line in 2006-07, and their running back led the league in rushing in 2008. Right. That's a good
17 touchdowns or something, didn't he?
I think of Damian Woody, I think overrated.
The problem was Brian Schottenheimer.
He was a Pro Bowl candidate.
Yeah.
The problem was the
offensive. Why is he overrated?
Because he's not a Patriot anymore.
Somebody gave him money and he left. He's proven that he can play at a Pro Bowl caliber at all three positions on the offensive line. To me, that's pretty impressive.
He's a good player.
He's a Jet.
2G, what do you got?
Jason Taylor played in 13 games, starting 8 of them.
Well, wait a minute.
So when
he
Andy
started
said
eight,
he
29
missed about
tackles,
a month.
3.5 sacks,
29 tackles.
Fumble.
13 games, 8 starts, 29 tackles, and 3.5 sacks.
And a forced fumble.
I would say that's probably not what
he played
Washington
one
was
game,
for.
Fred said.
But I would guess that Washington was looking for more than that. So
okay,
I would say bad.
Absolutely.
But that's more than one game, Fred.
He missed Fred's four
favorite,
or five.
I said he played in the first game, then he came in at the end.
But that's not true.
He
just told you he missed weeks 4, 5, and 9.
You said
he played in the first game and then
he
came back at the end.
He started 8 games.
But he played in 13.
Yeah, he came in at the end.
He came in at the
but
end.
After that first
he
game.
He was dealing with that issue for other games. I'm guessing that cost him a few
well,
starts.
Whatever the reason, it wasn't a good acquisition.
Paul, he played at the end.
I agree that that's Washington probably wanted more production than that.
Yeah.
Was it good to keep Tom Brady on the roster after camp?
Yeah, 29
Should
tackles.
They have just cut him? They got nothing out of him this year. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, he only
tackles.
Played in 12 of the last 15 games after that. So
He started the first game, then
he
played
until
the
end.
Well, he played every game. He just didn't play that well.
13 games.
Started 8.
On your favorite team.
No, that's still 7 more than Redskins. You said he played. You said he played in 1.
No, I said he played in 1 in the beginning, and then he came in at the end.
Right. So that's still 7 more starts than you said he had.
Greg in San Diego.
San Diego.
Juxtaposition.
See, that's where you have the Anchorman's come in talking about the beginnings of San Diego.
He doesn't pay attention to the show if you're talking about two-gender.
Looks like
he's actually on his cell phone, maybe?
No, he's looking at a map right now.
He's talking.
He's getting the weather.
Playing Madden or something. I don't know.
Greg says, I was listening to the podcast from Tuesday and agree that New England will franchise and send Castle to the highest bidder. Can you break down who the possible bidders are? I look at Minnesota, Detroit, and possibly Tampa as options. My real fear is if the old man in New York finally decides he has thrown enough picks and hangs it up, will the Jets go after Castle? I know it's up in the air with the pending coaching decision there, but do we know how much confidence the organization has in Clemens? I think most Pats fans really like Matt Castle. Would hate to have him. Would hate to hate him if he was wearing green and white.
Is Eric going to comment on every three words that Fred reads?
Hey, you complain when I don't talk. Now you're complaining when I do talk.
I like
F you.
I like the new Andy today.
I like the new Eric.
Paul's favorite emailer, Bill Berry, wants to know what the likelihood of franchising Ventrone would be.
I would like him more if he had more emails like that.
Now, what exactly is the number on special teams coverage guys who are backup wide receivers / safeties? 252,000.
The previous one, though, Freddie, I think that we would all agree, Minnesota, Detroit, Tampa Bay, those are three pretty logical partners, don't you think?
I think Oakland, I don't think you'd ever go there.
I don't think you'd
want to
go there, but
they would be.
What about San Francisco?
They have a quarterback who
they
about
Kansas
City?
I don't know if Oakland would be
Kansas City?
What about
Kansas
City?
Kansas City is a definite possibility.
Kansas City is a possibility.
You know?
What about San Fran?
I think that would be a possibility.
They have really gone off the grid here. I was talking to you about this. Like, they signed Singletary.
Right.
But there was all kinds of talk that they were going to be a player in Castle, a player in Pioli, a player in this. And they've just kind of gone dark.
I wonder if that's an indication that maybe people aren't all that high on Mike Singletary, people around the NFL.
Well, but they also, Andy and I were talking about this the other day. They hired the 27-year-old son of York.
Yeah, that's a red flag
there. So, you know, maybe that's.
Stay the hell away.
Yeah. Sergeant York.
Yeah. Buffalo could be in the running for Castle. Why not?
Trent Edwards is pretty good.
I don't know how good he's going to be, but I think they have a guy they think is the guy.
Right.
So until that you and find out he's not the guy, it's kind of hard to make that kind
of. They have a year where they're deciding if the coach is the guy. You might as well decide if the quarterback's the guy, and then if the coach isn't the guy, the next guy can decide if the QB is the guy.
Worry about it. Right.
Well, and I think with Jamarcus Russell in Oakland, I think makes it awfully tough.
You know, that and the $65 million.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
What about Miami? Pennington going to be there for a long time?
No.
He's not going to be anywhere for a long
time. That's an option.
They have young quarterbacks behind
him. Don't they like one of them?
Know.
They drafted straight years. They've drafted
Beck
second
and Henny.
Round. Beck and Henny. Beck sucks. Beck will be done, but Henny could be a possibility.
Beck, I don't know if you remember this, Fred, but Beck got the first ever double down arrows in the Andy Hart draft evaluation system.
I'd just like to point out a very important decision maker, I'm going to pull a Fred Kirsch here and not remember who said it, but said, you only get a couple years in this league, and if your arrow's not pointing up, you got to go in a different direction.
So if you have
Everybody uses the up arrow, down arrow system.
If you have two arrows pointing down, just think about how much harder it is to turn two arrows around
in
2 years.
You know, people get complicated with A's and B's. Just up arrow or down arrow.
Yeah, it's real complicated. A, excellent.
Was it down southeast or southwest, though? Because you do have
I have angles of arrows. That is true. But they're all to the east. They're all
to the east.
To
northeast
the
and southeast. There's no west arrows. We're all between 12 and 6, not 6 and 12.
Okay.
he's not just big. He plays big.
I don't see Paul Perillo coming up with his own scouting system.
No, you're right. I'm not a talent evaluator.
That's
like you
he doesn't
are.
Go to the draft like some of us.
I don't go to the draft, huh?
Dan's on the phone.
I mean, the
very
combine.
Serious.
I would love to skip draft weekend, just so you know. You let me know when that's an option.
When did you let us know skipping the combine was an option?
Oh, I made that perfectly clear right off the go.
That's in Paul's contract. He doesn't do the combine.
Combine. Are we going to get any compensatory picks?
Let's see. This
From
is an
Sandy
interesting emailer.
He also did it with on board either. Are they going to bring on board? Like it was on two lines of the email. He had to move his finger to the left side to read the board part.
You know he's ready to go. Are you finished?
Shut up, fat mouth.
You should see Andy's shoes today.
Yeah, they're
you should see
pretty.
Your socks
these,
today.
He's got these like puke.
As you would say to someone
green.
Else that said something like that, we're on radio.
He's got shoes on that like a used car salesman would wear in the 1970s. I swear to God, they're the ugliest things. They're like lime green with a buckle.
But they're really comfortable.
They're pea green,
I mean,
actually.
You should be wearing bell bottoms with those. Seriously.
They're
really
green. Comfortable.
Yeah, pea green. It's awful.
My pea's
we had to
green.
Explain to Andy that we weren't talking about that
my
pea.
My pea's yellow. Except when I have a
talking
lot of
about
asparagus.
The
and then it turns green and smells funky. Ooh.
So you have orange fire water and pea green.
I don't eat a lot of asparagus all that often.
I can tell.
Expensive. It makes your pea smell.
Asparagus
though.
Is expensive? Really?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have known that.
I wouldn't
of course
either.
Not.
It's pretty pricey.
Well, pastrami's
I mean,
not that
for
expensive.
You two. You two would just buy it by the caseload and just, you know, you'd have your servants drop the truck off.
Oh, yeah.
You two? Is that what you just said?
You like two are rich.
You're yeah. suddenly he's putting me on his
yes.
level?
Yes.
Please.
It's the guy who has to take his new truck to the end of the driveway
exactly.
to write his mail.
Yeah, because so. The paper
I'm 3,000 miles over for an oil change in my car. I'm so destitute.
Did you get the paper today?
It was at the end of the driveway. They're on the clock.
The Times?
They're on the clock.
Oh, no. The Boston Globe is on the clock.
Got to admit, I was getting
if
really used to
now
that.
If between now and next Wednesday they have not returned to delivering it to my back doorstep, you're out.
Sox and Rocco Baldelli agree to one-year deal.
How about that? The homecoming kid.
Now, this is an interesting email I'm about to read.
Is he juicing?
Rocco!
He's not juicing.
It's just from Amelia. From
Cloud.
He was juiced.
And Amelia says, I love Dan. She says, hooray that Dan wasn't fired. I'm his biggest and perhaps only fan.
Ain't over yet.
I had hoped to
call
in
layoffs.
And confess my undying groupie love while I was on vacation over Christmas, but I got caught up doing other enjoyable things. So an email we'll have to do for now. Dan is the funniest guy in the show after Fred, more so because, like Fred, so much of it is unintentional. The only thing more hilarious than his incompetence is that he doesn't appear to care much about the consequences. Oh, yeah,
true.
His cracks on Eric and Paul also add to his value. By the way, Eric should take a lesson from him on how straight, confident guys act when they are jokingly called gay. Of course, no one is joking
is this my
when
mother?
Referring to Eric, but maybe there is someone out there he can fool. Now, on to my football rant of the day.
Amelia.
My heart?
It's utter rubbish that Manning won the MVP, and it's a bigger fraud. You going to listen to her email,
sorry.
Or are you going to just keep talking?
We're going to keep talking until you got mad.
Like you.
You disappointed us last time by not giving us that, so we had to keep poking
ahead.
She says it's utter rubbish that Manning won the MVP, and it's a bigger fraud than Bob Sanders winning the Defensive Player Award. The Colts finished 12-4 on the basis of their defense, not due to Manning's stellar performances. The Colts' defense was directly responsible for two of the Colts' wins. The first game against Houston, where the Colts won by 31-27 due to the fourth quarter fumble returned for a TD by the Colts defense. Take away those direct points and the Colts likely lose. Note that I'm not even counting the second late fourth quarter fumble caused by the Colts defense, which set up Manning deep in Houston's territory. The second game directly won by the defense was the Cleveland game, in which a fumble returned for a touchdown provided the winning margin for the Colts. Without these games, which the defense won, the Colts would not have made the playoffs, although I wouldn't go so far as to say Manning wouldn't have won the MVP award. The media bias for him is that bad. I don't know where Paul pulled his stats about Manning coming back four times in the fourth quarter from double-digit deficits. Maybe from his fat ass.
Whoa!
The reality is a bit different. Manning came back from double-digit deficits in two of the Colts' 12 wins.
Well,
maybe
it is the media bias because I got that right off of the game over the weekend.
The Colts were down by single digits in two other wins, 6 and 8 points. In these comebacks, the defense played a direct role.
Wow.
And she goes on to say that it is the defense and not Manning that is the reason why they did so well.
Yeah, defense that is, what, 30-what in the league against the run? And honey, when you give up 27 points in a game.
Uh-oh.
When you give up 27 points in a game. Defense didn't win that one.
She thinks Rivers should have got it over him. San Diego won games largely.
I'd have no problem with
largely on
the
basis
it,
of Rivers' performances, while the Colts won games largely due to their defense. Rivers, not Manning, should have won the MVP.
I would have no problem with that.
I wouldn't either.
You know, in all seriousness, I think Philip Rivers had a really good year, and he was my
especially
pick for
the end, yeah.
Offensive Player of the Year, and that's what I picked for the in our mea culpas that we do for the season-ending
awards. Oh, I got to do that today, right?
Yes.
Drew Brees
you
won
done it yesterday when I said it's open on my screen. Want to do it? And you said. Nah, tomorrow.
Philip Rivers had a better year than Drew Brees.
He did.
He did.
Far less interceptions.
He outproduced him in every category other than yards. More touchdowns,
and
less interceptions.
His
team did the same. They both went 8-8.
One went to the playoffs, one didn't. But
and won a playoff game so far.
Yeah, but as we've discussed earlier in this
team
in this show,
but I think his defense was worse than Breeze's. And I think Breeze has no defense either in New Orleans, but.
Sawyer from Waterloo. Now that I'm calmed down after the season has ended, I have to say that the season kind of turned out to be the perfect season as I see it. When Brady went down and the Pats struggled a little, all I heard from people in Iowa is Brady really that good? Or they should be fine. It is just the system. Idiots. On the other hand, I wanted the Pats to suck to show these people how good Brady was. But on the other hand, I love the Pats and respected and now appreciate Castle. So I wanted them to win it all, to shove it all in the naysayers' faces. As it turned out, I think people saw what they were missing in Brady. Castle made himself known very well to the fans and his agent, Jackpot. And we also won a lot of games, which makes us look good, but didn't make the playoffs, so we still miss Brady. If that isn't the cursed way of thinking, I don't know what is. Crap.
I ran out of hands.
Convoluted and intelligent.
No, but I understand exactly what he's saying.
I ran out of hands.
You still showed that they miss Brady, yet they still did well as a team, showing that they're still a good team, and Castle did well. So I understand what he's saying.
Of course you do. It's Fred speak.
P.S. When is Fred's birthday? I owe him and the rest of you Peckerwoods lunch.
Oh, jeez.
Tomorrow. No. It's next Tuesday. No. It's not. Who has the next birthday around here?
Well, when is your birthday?
Andy.
It's in late June.
Andy, in late May.
Andy's next. Then you and I are in June.
Andy's next.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Oh, wait.
When
what
Dan,
about two?
I don't know when Dan's in
July.
Okay. Oh,
who gives a rat's ass?
Sorry. I figured 21. That's a big birthday.
Amelia cares,
can we
obviously.
Delve into this Amelia story? Pick up that microphone. Who is she? Where'd you meet her? She hot?
Never heard of her before today.
You're a liar.
I thought there was something about you guys on vacation.
Amelia Singh.
No. She said she
friend
was
of your
on
sisters?
Vacation.
Oh. I'll look her up on Facebook.
Okay. Amelia Singh?
I'll bet you she knows your sister.
We all know your sister.
Bet you did. Oh.
Oh.
Wow. Wow. What else we got? We got a lot of emails.
A lot of emails.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Todd says, hi, guys, and Eric. What do you guys and Eric think is the biggest need in 09, secondary help or pass rush? Did the lack of pass rush make the secondary look worse, or did the lack of coverage not give the pass rush enough time to get there?
Both.
I think I'm in the minority. I don't think the secondary was that bad this year. I would like
minority.
To see them draft the outside linebacker that Rosie Colvin was supposed to be. Do you think that they will try the same strategy they did this summer and just sign two or three low-level cornerbacks and hope someone sticks?
Nope.
I hope not.
On another note, watching Castle's progression this year was amazing. Maybe it's because I watched every Pats game, but it was probably the most improvement I've ever seen a player in 1 year, and that includes Brady's first year. Mm. What do you guys think? Can you ever remember a player getting that much better in one season?
I would probably agree, especially if we include the preseason.
I would agree including Brady, too, because I think Brady was at a higher level when he started than Castle was. He played better in the games that he didn't do, quote-unquote, as much early in the year. He played better than Castle's
games
early in the year.
And his game didn't evolve as much as Castle's did in terms of – I thought Castle dramatically changed in pocket presence – to the point where he was making good reads and then running. Running became an option for him. And then the going from throwing a lot of screens to, at times, taking chances down the field.
Improvising
and plays down
on some
the
of
field.
Those runs that you
Brady
talked about.
Brady was pretty steady. You know, he had those couple really bad games where he just threw picks.
But he wouldn't have a bad game the following week.
And he didn't.
He would bounce back from it.
He didn't evolve that much in that season. Their offense was kind of similar that whole season.
Now, the only thing about that I would say in Brady's defense is they couldn't do what Castle did. They just didn't have the horses to do that.
Right. On the phone is Brian from Brighton. Brian, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Great.
What's up?
Hey, one quick thing. Andy, you gotta watch those commercials for the Ultimate Super Bowl commercial. I'm telling you, Del Ohm, with that tongue ring, you're going to have material for at least two more months.
Are they online?
Can I watch? Just go to NFL.com Super Ad.
I'll do it today. All right.
You got to check it out because I'm telling you, I understand the purpose of the tongue ring. When it's that far back, there's only one thing you're putting your mouth.
Get that disclaimer. We might need to run that disclaimer again.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now were you the one who said that Kurt Warner also had one?
I'm still not sure about Kurt Warner. I watched it again after talking to you guys. I can kind of see a reflection there, but it's not definite. But Delhomme, no doubt.
Wouldn't I'd be really surprised.
Plummer is Jake the Snake. Delhomme could be Jake the Snake Charmer.
put him with Sean Alexander, and you got your own special team.
Oh yeah.
What are we doing?
No, Paul, we have a disclaimer now.
Oh, fine. Okay.
Is he really gone?
Oh, I mean, we're going to start talking about Cordell Stewart, too?
Oh, no, we know.
Well, you just did.
Jeez.
Remember those rumors about him?
Yeah. Chad Eaton used to say it to him all the time during the game. Cordell. That's not true, is it?
Well, no, but there were
come on,
specific,
tell us it ain't true,
remember
Cordell.
There were specific rumors about locations, activities.
Did I ever tell you the story I had with Cordell Stewart?
Oh, boy.
No, but for the first time ever, I'm going to say this. Please tell me.
No, we were in Pittsburgh. It was before a Pittsburgh game, and it was the night.
No, I thought it was before the Niners game. It's weird. We were playing the Niners that week.
It was that Saturday night or Friday night. He had been supposedly caught in a park with another man.
Yes.
The police rousted him out of the bushes. So that was the big news in Pittsburgh. So the next day, on Sunday morning, I'm on BCN. And I said to – I go, look, let's just leave Cordell Stewart out of this. I don't want to – of course, what do? They asked me about Cordell Stewart. Yeah. So I said, well, look, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but all I know is that DeMonte Dawson asked to go from the shotgun all day. That was my reply.
He didn't want to talk about it, but then when they bring it up,
DeMonte Dawson,
he prepared a joke.
Then he has to explain it. See, yes, it's like two Jennies. See, because Dawson's the center,
right?
But that supposedly the police kind of caught him in a park,
which is fine.
Chad said that
at night,
nonstop, every play, Cordell. It ain't true, is it? Tell me it's not true in the whole game.
And it's amazing that, you know, gay people don't openly come out when they're professional athletes. You got people like that around. Eric, you could talk about this subject a little bit.
Why, are you a pro athlete?
Nope.
Is Eric a pro athlete?
Just read the emails.
No, but he does have a scheduled kicking contest with Steven Gostkowski.
Yeah, how's that going?
You really wanted to unveil that now?
Well, I just did, so.
Why not? We're going to promote the hell out of
it.
Right. Yeah.
Tell you know how they do, like, De La Hoya somebody 24-7 on HBO?
We're
going to
have a press conference.
We're
going to
do all that.
I know from experience.
You practicing in your backyard. Me pulling the ball away. You falling flat on your back.
All right. Well, a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, one of our friends in the media, Chris Gasper from The Globe, was kind of friendly with Gostkowski, and they were going back and forth about something. And Gostkowski said to him, sort of offhandedly, I bet you I could write better than you can kick. And you know Chris, he's kind of hard-headed. He's not going to back down from a challenge.
He's a lot like Eric.
Yeah, he is, actually.
In a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways. Shut
I'm
up.
Just saying.
But he's never kicked a football before. So he, knew that I have. Oh, boy. I really know
from experience, dude.
I didn't say it. I just found it funny.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So Gasper comes to me and says, would you be my ringer? Would you kick for me if I accept this challenge from him? So, long story short, Gostkowski has agreed to write a story for PFW about whatever the topic of his choosing. I'm trying to get him to write a Pro Bowl story when he goes there.
Right.
About whatever.
Yeah.
And then sometime this spring or early summer, I have to go out to the field with him and hopefully Paxton and Hanson have a snapper in the holder, the whole thing. And I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you can do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Instead of him running a story, why don't you have him on PFW in Progress?
Well, we'll probably do both.
Something lasting.
We'll probably do both.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to have him on before, and we'll promote
it. Of course. We'll do the whole thing.
Eric, by the way, thinks he's going to make all the field goals.
I'm not. I said don't be surprised if I make all 10.
Should we have Seely out there watching just in case? I mean, you never know.
He might be in Seattle.
I was going to say, is he still going to be the coach at that point?
Yeah, he might be in Seattle. So
but whoever the special teams coach is, just in case, maybe they want to sign you.
The best part of this story is in true PFW fashion. We forgot to talk to Gostkowski before the season ended.
We didn't forget. I talked to him the last week. See, he said,
but
yeah,
here's the thing.
It.
Here's
we'll
the thing that
them,
we aren't really taking into consideration. The way Eric measures a 35 yarder, they line it up at the end. They line it up on the goal line. See? So.
Touché.
No, we'll be all set. Don't you worry. We'll be in touch with him. We'll get it done. We'll get the story in the paper.
Yeah, it happened on the very last time that we had open locker room was that last Friday before the Buffalo game. That's when all this happened. Then the only other time we've really seen all the players was kind of rushed after the game, and then on the Monday everybody's clearing out their lockers. So, it's kind of hard.
But don't fret. We'll make and as this conversation was going on between me and Gasper and Gostkowski, Hansen was at his locker, which is right next to there, and he turns and says, "Hey, you know, you should get those guys from Patriots Today to come and film it." So fans will probably have a chance to see.
Yeah, we'll do it up. We'll make a big deal about it. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I didn't want to interrupt you twice. Is it too late to go back and make a snapper joke, or have we moved on?
Yes, it's too late. We've moved
2G.
on.
2G. Is someone on the phone?
2G?
2G.
2G.
More like...
Who?
Anthony in Naples.
Anthony!
What's going on there, guys?
How you doing?
I guess Eric has no idea what humble pie tastes like, huh?
Well, he might.
No. He's going to get a taste of it, though.
No idea.
I can't wait to shut all of you
Anthony,
fat bastards up.
Anthony,
that's what's going to happen.
Don't be surprised if he makes all 10.
Don't be surprised.
I can make 6 out of 10 from 35.
Fred,
I
no,
could.
You can't. No, you can't.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Just so you know, in training camp, Stephen Gostkowski couldn't make 6 out of 10 from 35.
Well, they're not rushing him.
What?
I mean, there's not going to be a rush. He's just going to kick it, right?
There's no rush on Stephen Gostkowski. They would just stand up and put a hand up. If you remember, he struggled in training camp.
Gostkowski said he wants to have a snap, a hole, and he wants to have those pads that they put at the line of scrimmage to simulate like a rush with like, you know, blockers.
Okay.
So I have to, you know, make it over like a normal thing.
And Andy
has... What's that?
You have to wear pads.
No. I don't think so. But Andy has volunteered to be the edge rusher, and I suggest he doesn't wear the helmet because I will purposely miss to kick him.
Now, are you a barefoot kicker?
No, Fred. That's
you can't let him be an edge rusher.
How could you
run over that?
No, you couldn't see that.
I could see you being a barefoot kicker.
That's a good point, Paul. I didn't think that.
Would you call it Saturn today?
I did.
I'd have gone with Jupiter, but.
What's that, Anthony?
I said I think he should kick it straight toe like an old offensive lineman.
Sure.
Make it interesting.
Lula Toe Groza?
Get one of those old shoes they had?
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show him.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, jeez.
This is going to be something.
Any wonder
Eric,
why
you have very little to deal to work with the ladies, let alone have an eagle like that.
but you know what would be cool is if, you know, I assume you're going to, like, start practicing, limbering up a little
bit. I've already
bit.
Started training.
You're going to get limber?
It's been 15 years, so I do need to get back
right.
in some
so,
sort of shape.
So let's just say that, you know,
you
get into a groove. And Gostkowski
some
says,
might say it's been 36 years.
You know, and you get your...
Some like who, Paul?
I don't know, Andy.
So you get
you're on the list. You're number one on the list.
Maybe you should finish a turkey sandwich in under an hour.
So let's
That's
say
true.
You... Let's say
maybe you should go jump on that heifer who emailed in a little
while.
Hey, guys, can I make a quick point? Is that when Eric kicked in college, the field goal was actually wider at that point, too.
And the goalposts were on the goal line.
That's incorrect. Right. That's incorrect, my friend, because back then they narrowed the goalposts to be the same as the NFL.
You have a little white stuff on your lip. I don't know.
Oh, really? Oh, maybe I was thinking of high school.
Mayonnaise!
Sorry.
What?
You've been supplanted, Paul. Fred's on the
Is
list.
Is he on the list
Fred's
now?
The top on the list now.
It's a good thing we have that
he
disclaimer.
Really did. I'm not kidding.
It's a good thing we got that disclaimer ready.
It's
hair gel?
Now. It's off. But well, let's just say you get your 6 out of 10. You get that out of the way. And Gostkowski says, all right, let's put a little money on and we'll move back, you know, 5 mm-hmm. yards. Would you
like
get
he
into
does.
That? Would you do it?
If my training goes the way I expect it to,
you're training.
Sure. Yeah. I have to train.
So
I
words,
haven't kicked in 15 years.
In other words, you're going to train and you're going to go back to like 50 yards and see if you can knock them through.
Of course.
Eric,
I'm
going to
test my limits. I'm going
to
see what I
can
do.
Tell you?
Your pomposity never ceases to amaze me.
I would not.
Like, honestly, I think if I went
you
and
really
got
think
Matt
you
Barr,
can get in a money competition with the actual Pro Bowl kicker?
No. Paul. I'm doing this for the show's sake.
No, I mean, you really believe you could go 10 for 10.
Right, no,
the 35?
Yeah, that's possible.
I think
if I went and found Matt Barr or like some early 90s kicker right now and said, I need you to hit 6 of 10, he would say, I can probably do it, but I'm pretty rusty, so it
I'm
might
not
take
eliminating
me a while.
The possibility of him being able to hit even all 10 from 35. I'm not eliminating that as a possibility. What I'm saying is Fred's ultimatum here of, so if you're feeling pretty good about yourself and Gostkowski wants to put some money, you would actually think about putting money down and competing against the Pro Bowl kicker in the AFC.
No, Paul.
But I think
I was joking with Fred.
I think you're laughing about
Sometimes
it now.
Sometimes we joke on the show, in case you didn't realize.
I don't think this is one of those times. I think you really
I was
think
joking.
You can compete.
I was joking.
When you talk about your kicking career,
oh my God.
It doesn't seem like you're joking.
Right. We're joking for sure. I don't think you're joking.
No. Paul, there was no money involved in any of this. He no, laid
I
out
have
the
no
parameters.
Problem with the original premise.
Six
I think
out
is,
of 10 from 35. That's all we're doing.
And I have no problem with that.
That's all we're doing.
It
there's not going to be any. There's
no,
not
it's only the last minute addition by
what
Fred.
What if he said,
$1,000 bet
no, no.
that you can hit from 50, no. I'll give you four attempts.
He's not going to. He's not going to do anything like that.
Would you be willing to go $1,000?
Only if he said, "I'll give you $1,000 if you."
Yeah,
can
I'm
hit,
not going to
put if
you
him, him a portrait.
I'm not going to. No.
What if that's what worth if it's $1,000 10-1? So if you miss it, you give him 100. If you get it, he gives.
No,
you
No, I'm not putting any money down. I don't make
do
that,
that
kind of. Fred, I work for I you. I don't make that kind of money.
Oh,
I would do
wow.
that. If he said to you, "I'll give you 10-1 odds. I'll give you $1,000 to your 100 that you could hit one out of three from 50."
If Fred spots
I would
me,
take
I,
a shot.
If Fred spots me the 100,
right
I'll
now,
do it.
I couldn't do it.
No, I couldn't kick a 20-yarder.
Right,
I mean,
okay.
that's. I'm saying if I was Eric.
Now, are you guys including the end zone in these numbers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, Anthony.
Okay.
Well, that's what I was wondering because
the NFL
punting is
yet
the 80-yard average.
My rule that brings the goalpost back to the goal line.
No, she should.
Now, Eric, do you still have your shoes from college? Are you going to pull
don't.
Them out of the closet?
No, I don't. I have to start from scratch.
No. He'd have to leave the
no,
closet.
BU
to
had
the shoes
a bronze, out. Right? Aren't see, they in the see, BU Hall of Fame
that's
next to Paul's
kind of
name?
That you should be upset.
I didn't
about.
Hear what he said.
No,
don't
I'm actually in the Hall of Fame.
I know. His bronze kicker shoes are right.
The baseball hall.
You're in a Hall of Fame.
That's right.
What did you
it's
say?
More than you can say.
Don't worry.
Fathead.
That's true. And as Andre Tippett told you, any Hall of Fame is special.
That's right.
That's right.
Although that one's a little less special than it was before I was inducted into it.
Anthony, did you have any
so what else?
Patriots
yeah, did you
comments?
Have anything you wanted to talk about?
Jeez, I didn't want to kill the momentum of making fun of Eric, so I don't want to interrupt.
We can always pick that up when we need to. Don't worry.
All right.
He's still eating a sandwich, by the way.
Now, did anybody get excited like I did when Minnesota, well, actually Tavares Jackson kind of stunk it up with Minnesota?
Why, because they'll be in the castle hunt?
Well, that's my immediate thought. I'm sorry. I honestly believe it's like 80% he's going there.
Minnesota?
My only worry about that, I think that's the perfect team. But my
is.
Worry
he
is they
the defense,
yeah, they just did that.
But they don't have any draft picks because didn't they do that? I mean, they blew a first-round pick in two-thirds and a second and a 17th.
They traded their first and third
Allen.
Last year. They're going to trade their first and third right. again this year?
At some point, you need to draft some players.
Yeah, but Paul,
I'm not saying they won't do it. I'm wondering. That's my one concern. That's all.
Remember I made the point. I'm like, I believe their GM is going into the fourth year, and then, you have the Childress there, and both of them are probably just harping to the owner, hey, we're just a quarterback away that can make some plays.
You might be right.
They got the wide receivers. They have the running game. They have the defense. They needed some plays from that quarterback position. And they don't need –
the receivers are okay. I mean, they got Berrien and Sidney Rice and Bobby Wade. They're not Randy Moss and Wes Welker, but they're okay.
Well, you guess
they're
what?
Okay.
But if you have a great – if you have a decent to a good not to great. I'm not saying quarterback's a great – I mean, Castle's a great quarterback, but I believe he'll step up their play.
I think that Castle makes a lot of sense for Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a good team that's a quarterback away. Like I said, the only concern I would have is I don't know if they would be willing to sacrifice another year of the draft because they just did it last year. So now you're saying we're going to have to do that again? Boy, we better be right with this. If
and
we're
it
not,
it's where the bidding goes. If the bidding is lower than we think it's going to be and – they can throw a second or a third round pick, then, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense.
A lot of people seem to be saying a first and then some sort of mid-round pick. I don't know if that would be a first and a third or first and a fourth
okay.
or something.
Now,
that's
guys,
enough.
Let me ask you. If you're Minnesota, let's say you don't go into Castle, you keep that first round pick. What are you going to get?
I don't know.
Okay. I honestly feel as if, like, if they have that first round pick, they really don't have that glaring need in any other position.
What if you got Joe Flacco?
What's that?
I mean, just out of I mean,
a
just,
Joe Flacco type.
I mean, they're picking around 20. What if they got Joe Flacco?
But here's the thing, Paul. Nobody can guarantee. I'm not saying Castle's a guarantee, but he's proven you more in the NFL
yes.
than any rookie quarterback is going to come out of college.
He has, but I'm just. I agree with you, Anthony. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that Minnesota was a quarterback away, and I think that's the kind of team the Patriots should really be exploring. Absolutely.
Yeah. I truly believe it. After watching that game, I put some money on Philly, and I was looking at that Minnesota team because they were in that game. The end score didn't reflect.
Oh no, that was
that
a 16-14 game.
Yeah,
that was
and
a
I was 16-14
getting
ticked off game. Too because I thought I was going to lose by three because I needed 3 points, and I thought that game was going to end 16-14. And luckily, Donovan McNabb made that one screen pass play to Westbrook, and which put me over, which was a good thing. But I thought his play was a little overrated. Everybody's saying he played a good game. I didn't think he was being a Pro Bowl type quarterback making plays.
I thought he was closer to awful than really good, to be honest with you. I thought a couple of times in really bad spots he got strip sacked from behind where I think
yep.
he lost track of the situation. And I thought he was a little erratic with his throws. I didn't think he played an overly good game, and certainly that play was Westbrook.
Well, I'm glad you say that, Paul.
I agree with you.
I'm glad you say that.
Yeah.
Because actually, it was Mad Dog. I don't know if you guys ever listened to him. He was saying he was playing outstanding and everything else. I was wondering if he even watched the game, because I watched the whole thing.
Well, he made some nice throws on third downs. I'm not saying he played terrible, but I thought he made some glaring mistakes that a guy of his experience level shouldn't be making in the playoffs.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if it wasn't for Westbrook.
Yeah, Westbrook won the game.
He is the playmaker on that team, or at least on that offense.
Yeah, totally. I was going to ask something else. Oh, I know. Since Eric is there, is he there? Yeah, of course he's still there.
Still eating that turkey sub.
Oh, because this is a question more or less for his expertise. I was just curious because he's always noticing the guys in the locker room. Does Crable have the frame to bulk up a little bit? Not Crable. I'm sorry. Guyton.
Well, he's not exactly.
Guyton's a little...
He's not that puny.
No, Guyton's pretty good size.
Crable has the really thin legs. And he's got.
Guyton looks pretty thin on the arms, if you ask me.
In person it's different. We thought that way. When Mayo was drafted, when we were watching him on film, I think Paul, you might have made the comment too. He looked smaller on film. Mayo did than he does in person.
Life. Dude is stacked.
He is jacked in real life. And Guyton's kind of the same way. He might look a little small on TV, but he's not really that small a guy.
He looks like he has pipe. On television, he looks like he has pipe cleaners.
No.
I thought he looked a little frail.
Guyton's pretty good size. Actually.
Yeah, he's decent.
I don't know what his numbers are. What's his height and weight? Yeah,
it's right over there.
But I'm not sure he wants to add much as a third down sub
linebacker, yeah.
Kind of guy. I don't think he has a future as a starting inside run stuffing linebacker. So I don't know that he'd want to put on much bulk.
Well, it doesn't hurt to get stronger. I'm just saying, like,
it's not an
NFL program. You might want to bulk up just a little bit.
What do you mean by NFL program?
What's that?
Nothing to worry about. He's 6'3", 242.
Andy, we have a disclaimer now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so but it's not as bad as TV makes it look, Tony.
Well,
it's not.
No,
would you say 6'2"?
6'3", 242. That's decent size.
It's good linebacker size.
So he's just lanky. That's what it is. He's wiry.
He weighs the exact same as Mayo. Now he is 2 inches taller.
That is true.
Yeah, so...
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
Take it easy.
Now, before I forget, Eric, I want to get back
By the way, Eric has finished the turkey sub.
I want to get just back to your training. I want to make sure you... How are you going to train with a snapper and a holder?
You've never seen a snapper.
No.
Are you properly hydrating?
Seriously, because that's
the
way you're going to do it. You're not going to be kicking from a tee, right?
No.
Well, could use those little things that they use with the three
the
points.
I have one of those things. But
it's not the same. There's time. No, the timing. The
but that's how you train.
It's not the same. But you
do have to get some guy to snap and hold.
He's not beating a rush.
Right.
No, but if you go out there for the first time and all of a sudden there's a guy snapping it and holding, it's different than
Fred. There will be a little bit of a warm up period.
You don't just walk
out onto the field.
He cannot have to move a step. The guy could be standing there with the ball like that.
He could say, "Chris, actually angle it back a little and then start his steps."
There's no rush.
Are you setting terms before this?
We had negotiations that we had to go through. Yeah.
Who's your second? Do you have a second?
A second? This is not a duel, Fred.
No?
I'm not going against Gostkowski.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
You're not going against Paul.
He's going against the number six.
I'm going against the number six.
Fred's getting why are you squinting your eyes at me?
Let him fight his own battles.
I don't like the tone of your face right there. How's that sound?
Battles, Paul.
I don't like the tone of your face.
All right, webradio@patriots.com. It's 106. We need to take a break.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
We've heard about Eric's exploits on the football field, and he's heard about the upcoming game with the greats. But this is getting ridiculous, and he's dragging Kyle into his delusions of grandeur. Yes, Eric, we know it's not pronounced that way.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan and former linebacker Steve Nelson. We want to tell you about the Game with the Greats. Are you one of those diehard fans who remembers our playing days, like the 85 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick? Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriots Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan. Andre Tippett, one of my linebacker brothers, will be there too. Do you think he'll bring his gold jacket with him? I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him. If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium, when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco. Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni. Hey, that was pretty good, huh, Steve? Yep, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike? Sounds more like Beavis and Butthead. Now, back to the guys. And Eric.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Kevin writes in, I can see it now. Eric in the Pro Bowl in 2010 wins the Super Bowl and rides off into the sunset
I
with
can
Cordell
see it too.
Stewart.
Not that part. Not that part. I spoke too soon. Sorry.
Eric is on board with your whole scenario there.
No.
Chris with a TIAN writes in, I think you can do it, Eric, especially since
you'll be
training. I think he's good for 6 out of 10. Fred, please tape this so James can put it up on the PFW site.
Oh, I just said that. We're going to try to get KSP involved, so it'll be part of one of their off-season shows.
It'll be all over the place. We'll make sure of that.
The Fred Kirsch approach. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It'll be all over
the
place.
We'll have Chris Ferreira in charge.
Oh, great. And it won't be anywhere.
Oh, now, see now?
The hair-dying monkey that he is.
Oh, come on now. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
Still has to look at the number.
Any news while we've been talking about kicking competitions?
John Smoltz did reach a preliminary agreement with the Red Sox.
Okay.
So that's two players in less than 2 hours of showtime here that are going to be on the Sox that we predicted.
What about that Jagodzinski guy?
Haven't heard anything about him.
Okay.
Reaching any deals since we started.
Well, one interesting part of that, Fred, was that a lot of people thought that he might be a candidate for the Seattle offensive coordinator position, and obviously that won't happen because Greg Knapp, who obviously has pictures of someone, he was named offensive coordinator of the Seahawks yesterday.
Okay.
He used to be an offensive coordinator for Oakland, and I don't really think I need to say anything else about his credentials.
Does he have a history with
Bears, too?
I think you may be right about that.
Does he have a history with Mara Jr.?
I don't know.
Yeah, he was with Atlanta.
Oh, okay. So then
they were
all right.
Atlanta together.
So maybe he knows something we don't, Paul.
Or maybe he doesn't know something we do.
Okay.
That was one of those sentences I didn't know where it was going when I was talking.
About the art of the three and out helping you win a football game.
I'll tell you something, though. As a head coach in the NFL, there is so much that you need to do. You know, and that's why I think you see so many of these other assistant coaches being retread, because you just need guys that just know the job, so that you don't have to worry about it. You know, you can't rewrite the whole thing for everybody. You can't train on the job. You just need guys to come in and know what they're doing from day one.
Which is why
so much to do.
Connections often play as much of a, you know, people being comfortable with each other,
yeah,
as much or more so than actual,
yep,
talents, successes, records,
yep,
you know, unit rankings, all that crap.
Yep. Let's see. Ping Pong writes
in. Ping Pong!
He says, I would like to know how last year's draft picks look after one season of playing. I went back and listened to your draft shows,
uh-oh,
and between the Mendenhall is ridiculous. I heard you say that you thought Wheatley was a stretch.
Ping
Bill
pong.
Height was a terrible corner in college, and you wondered why Bill would take a guy like that, and you were speculative about the Slater pick. Did Crable play any this season? And if he did, how did he do?
Ping
Thanks
pong.
For reading. Well, I think...
Why don't you take those individually?
I know. I was saying how Wheatley had played the same position forever.
Since sixth grade.
And all the reports said he was a very smart guy. And when we talked to him on the phone, he came off like a smart guy.
Yeah, we liked Wheatley.
So we liked Wheatley.
I was concerned about the Wheatley pick because of the wrist injury.
Yeah, right. We all were.
That passed.
Yep.
And, by the way...
Not the one he has now.
His injury that ended the season was a wrist injury.
But the other wrist.
Okay.
So he's like Eric.
I think that's actually worse. But
you went outside right now.
Wow. Eric is now challenging Andy to a fight.
He
wants to go out and fight.
Those birthday punches you offered the other day, as long as I can swing back, I'm fine.
Come on. With that nose, I could be a mile away and still hit.
He also wants about Will Height.
But with your head, I could be.
Will Height, I'm going to do something that we don't normally do here, because we usually take very strong accountability. You know, case in point, my Richard Seymour comments when we drafted him. The guy who doesn't work here anymore absolutely destroyed Jonathan Wilhite. I didn't even know who Jonathan Wilhite was.
Right, right. Crable,
I was still talking about
Crable was on
Andy
IR.
Checked out after Mendenhall got drafted.
Crable still has the skinny legs that I
predicted. Loved the Crable pick, and he's done nothing so far. Obviously, he was on
IR. And Slater, we didn't know anything.
I hated that
All we
pick.
Knew is that he's the son of Jackie Slater. He didn't have a position.
But so. I was outspoken.
You didn't like Slater.
I hated
and
that pick.
We were more right on draft day than we were in training camp when we saw his speed and said, well, he does have special speed. Mm. He never did anything.
He will.
Well, I was on board with that argument in camp, Fred, but he had a lot of opportunities to do something.
I know,
something.
He blew it.
He blew it
that
in
fumble,
coverage.
The fumble really hurt
he
him.
He blew it when it hit his chest. I mean,
because he didn't really get many
he
chances
He doesn't have
after
good
that.
Hands. He doesn't have good hands. He has a speed.
And I've seen him also get killed a lot coming down as a gunner. Sometimes he gets there because of his speed.
Yeah, but
sometimes
he made some tackles. He was okay on special teams.
I know, but he needs to be special.
I know.
To be worthy as a gunner of a fifth-round pick.
Yep.
I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
I'm starting to feel
point
like
taken,
I was more right
taken.
On draft day.
Yeah, he gets a short leash. He has to do it next year. He's out of the league. P.S., I would like to get you your thoughts on which one you like more, a wedge of lettuce or a salad. Depends on what kind of salad. What kind of salad?
A good one.
Just the house greens or... You know,
Caesar.
So well, Caesar salad is
you
a special
eat my
salad.
Is way better than a wedge salad. Or
I would take the wedge over a Caesar.
Yeah, a good wedge salad, Andy. Now, some of those chop chop salads that some of these restaurants have, they're very good. They're excellent.
Are they very good or are they
So
excellent?
You can't just, you know, paint with a broad brush when you're talking about salads.
Well,
there's
all
a
salads
lot of salads
have a ceiling. I mean, salad is salad.
You know, there's a toss salad.
Here we go again, Paul.
There's
Eric could
not
toss.
Like lemon meringue pie.
See now.
No, not at all like that. I heard that one, fathead.
I said you could.
I know what you said.
Your
Shut up.
Hat into the ring.
Shut up.
And also, P.S. Happy birthday, Eric. Did you get a male stripper?
Ping pong.
So
no comment for.
Yeah, the draft shows are the best ones to
look back
to look back on and see how many stupid things we say, because we say
there
a
lot
of stupid
of them
stuff
on
the
well,
draft day.
17 hours of straight
hours
radio,
in a row,
right?
Yeah. And we don't know a lot.
The stupid stuff tends to get said earlier. But I was more thinking along those lines.
Like, we do research. I'm not going to say
we
don't
do as much research as
but
we can.
We haven't watched every game the guy played every snap.
You're not down in Mobile.
I didn't, you know, for example, I didn't know who Jonathan Wilhite was. I really didn't.
None of us knew.
He was a starting corner.
Paul to the
Senior Bowl?
The Senior Bowl. Yeah.
He is a senior.
You want to go to the Senior Bowl? You have to drive.
Citizen, that
you
is.
Go?
I think I'll be in Richmond.
You'll be in Richmond.
Oh, you driving down there again, too?
Hell no.
Oh, by the way, Northeastern with a big basketball win last night.
But more importantly,
BC losing to Harvard.
kills their week. They go from beating the number one team to losing to
Bill
Harvard.
Simmons would call that a stomach punch game. You know, you just come off, you beat the number one team in the country, and you lose at home to Harvard. That's
in a time when you could use a nice little story to kind of move the cloud away.
Paul writes in from London, glad you enjoyed the PFW Awards, and hopefully they become a yearly part of the show, despite that meaning more work for me. Hopefully we will get a few more votes next year, but thank you everyone that sent their votes to me. First off, if there were two free agents, one draftee and one possible trade that you could make, what would they be and why? Mine would be Darren Sproles and Nnamdi Asamoah against unless Nnamdi is franchised. I would trade for Tony Gonzalez, as it would be another part of our passing attack, and I would draft Taylor Mays if he enters the draft, as having him and Merriweather would improve our secondary.
I'm a big fan of Taylor Mays, I'll say that.
Good player.
USC tends to do that.
Free agents, what was it?
What free agent would you take?
Carlos Dansby.
I like him, too.
Yeah.
Like him coming out of the out of Auburn.
I don't think Asamoah is an elite corner that you're going to have to pay. I think he's decent, but I'm not sure he's great.
Yeah, and it's tough because he didn't play very well when we saw him.
Not against us.
And we don't get a chance to see him very often.
He failed the Andy Hart rule.
But that kind of sticks with you. You saw him play, and then you weren't really all that impressed with him.
Yeah,
now.
Bill does it, too. That's why we have Wes Welker.
He's in a terrible system on a terrible team. That was playing out the string. So
it might not have been trying.
It might not have been
fair. Dansby was the only guy that kind of showed up in that game.
In the same kind of a situation,
right?
Dansby, I thought,
plus he's a freak.
Showed up.
Athletically, he's a
but
freak.
But it does speak to his ability, though, that they don't really throw the ball to his side very often. Awesome one, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, you know, he doesn't really get a lot of chances. Yeah.
But he's not bad.
I would have rather have paid Asante Samuel what they wouldn't pay him last year than give that kind of money to Asamoah. And that's what it looks like it's going to cost you.
Well, I gave you the free agent list the other day. Anyone else sticking out there?
Corners?
No, overall.
I've started looking at it, not completely into it yet.
Can you send
there
it to
are
me, Fred?
Interesting
what?
Names in that linebacker.
Andy has it.
There's like a
you didn't give that to him, too?
I forgot. My bad.
Colonoscopy again.
There's interesting names.
Just so people know, every week when we're on the road, our director of security sends us the itinerary, you know, when you get on the plane, when you get off the plane. Everyone gets it except Eric.
You don't get that?
There were twice this season I didn't get it. Look at the Betty Rubble over here.
But there are a lot of names that, like, Jonathan Vilma is a free agent. And we know Bill liked him way back when. Now, maybe he's seen, he can't do what I thought he could do, so maybe he's not an option because he didn't work out for Mangini in the 3-4 in New York. But maybe he still is an option, and Bill says, well, Mangini wasn't using him right. He wasn't coaching him right. Adam Seward, who they've had interest in the past, is a free agent now. He was a restricted.
That's cool.
There's like five different linebackers that we either know or they've indicated interest in the past who are now available. So there are some names out there. Monty Beisel is a free agent again.
No, thanks.
But there are some interesting names. Clark Hagans, I believe. Guys from Pittsburgh, guys from this system. There's some names to keep an eye on. I haven't really looked at corner.
Paul also says Maroney made some comments the other day and said 2009 is his year. Having him even as a change of pace back would be some use, and he would be a whole new player for the team and would negate the need for a Sproles or bringing Jordan back. Of the Patriots free agents, how many do you see being re-signed and how many will be let go?
I think there's a lot of guys who will be re-signed because some of them are Lonnie Paxton and Larry Izzo and those types of guys who I think will be re-signed. Some of them won't be.
They don't have very many.
Delpha O'Neal and Roosevelt Colvin and Junior Seau won't be re-signed.
They don't have very many.
The big name
pressing.
Is Castle. James Sanders would be a big name, I guess.
That's probably the biggest. That's probably the biggest name on the. I mean, Castle's going to get franchised, we all think. James Sanders is probably the biggest one out of the whole list. It's not a very. Now, flash forward a year.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
Mike Wright is another guy who. Is in a tier of backup contributor, plays a decent amount.
Sure.
Maybe somebody sees him, though, and says, you know what? He could start for us.
Tully Bantikane.
Yeah.
That could happen to him. Someone might.
Well, I think Mike Wright has done more to earn.
I absolutely think he's done more to earn that than Bantikane did.
And he can play every spot on the line.
If someone comes at him, not that Bantikane's deal was this huge thing, but it was too much for the Patriots
for who he was.
About getting involved.
Tom Ashworth.
Yep.
Tom right, Ashworth, exactly. Another good example. I mean, those were they were good players, and they were valuable in their roles. But if someone's going to offer them kind of right. starter frontline money.
Drew Bledsoe.
You got to just let them go.
Jabbar Gaffney's another guy.
Gaffney is probably going to get some attention, too, but I think he'll be back.
He wants to be here.
I think
he was very adamant about wanting to be here last year. I don't think he'll really be back. What's changed.
Paul says, my last two mentions are for Fred in the Urban Dictionary. Another one of my favorite Fred moments from 2008 surprisingly didn't get a single vote in the awards. The Tuesday or Wednesday show before the Jets game when he belched into the microphone, followed by him yelling at a security guard for opening the door during the show.
I forgot about that one. That was funny.
Also, NFL blitz and draft pick are two words Andy will like on the Urban Dictionary that I found while browsing.
NFL blitz.
Three gender. Let's look that up.
Didn't you just yell at the guy like, we're on the air?
Yeah. I was funny about it.
Let's do it live.
I'd have to ask him about that, but he didn't see me.
He looked like he wanted to come on the show.
It was weird.
That was a weird situation.
Well, you get during the season, you get all these people walking
around. You never know what's going to happen on this show. Anything could happen,
it's
literally.
It's always in progress. Unscripted and out of bounds.
Desmond Howard's on TV as an analyst now, and he looks like he's wearing his older brother's suit.
You know, that show's fine with the three of them. He doesn't really add anything.
He stinks. Terrible.
He's not good. Well, the segment he's on, not only he's not a very good presence, I don't think, but the segment that they have is so contrived where he's got the laptop open in front of him and he's pretending he's typing.
But he also fills in for Herb Street on game day when Herb Street's doing a game or whatever. And, yes. I mean, that's like, I mean, you couldn't get more opposite ends of the spectrum. Herb Street is great and Howard is,
Oh. Hey, are you guys going to watch the game tonight?
The
championship?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna. It says 8 o'clock right here. I don't know what time
it's gonna kick off.
I think it's 8:15 kickoff.
Might have to drink some.
Now, Eric, in North Providence, are you all set for the digital conversion? Do you have your cable?
I've been all set.
You're okay.
I'm okay. Thank you for asking. Though.
Everybody's all okay.
Well, I'm gonna lose a TV.
Yeah, no, I know, but you're not gonna not have TV.
No,
they act like most of the country still uses rabbit ears to get their TV. Everybody has cable or direct TV.
Small
percentage. Yeah, but if you have a cable splitter and you're just using it without a box, you got to get a box.
I have a cable TV that doesn't have a box.
Right.
But I'm going to lose that TV.
They announce it every hour, the world is coming to an end if you're not ready.
They're just trying to make sure. You don't think that.
Who's paying for that? That's what I want to know.
Here's the thing. The day that happens is what?
Is it February 1st?
I don't know. I ignore all those times it breaks in.
I'll guarantee you this. Somebody will get absolutely inundated with phone calls the day that conversion happens. So no matter how
especially in Iowa,
when they lose their TVs, no one's going to know what's going on. I'm telling you, when people don't know where the Red Sox will play a game and every game's on NESN and all of a sudden they'll be on Saturday afternoon and be on Fox. I worked at the Herald, we get like 85,000 phone calls. What channel's the Red Sox game on? I mean, they can't figure it out. It's unbelievable.
Or how about when they're in the ALCS and. Oh, the Frank Harvey
show that was
is
different.
On.
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey.
That was confused me.
That was weird.
I know what's going on. They didn't have a crawl. They should have had a crawl. They didn't do the crawl.
It was at a sports bar. And
they're acting like everything was
okay.
The bartender kept putting
the crawl. They didn't have the capability.
That's like saying they should have put the game on. They couldn't.
They put something on.
If they could get the crawl on, they'd have the game on.
That was funny.
Go ahead. What?
Nothing.
Let's see.
You can't read it.
Alex writes in. Hello and happy. Oh, somebody's at the door.
Hey, guys. This is your favorite flight attendant, Karen. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I got that can of soda for you, Freddie. So put your seat back and tray table up and quit your bitching, huh?
She sounds like something from a 1940s detective. I got that can of soda for you, Freddie.
I think she sounds like the female Archie Bunker.
Yeah,
she does.
At the end. I'm going to do things a little bit differently. And I just want to preface this by saying this is an actual Urban Dictionary word. It is on the site. I'm going to give the definition first and see if Paul can guess the word. The definition is, one, a pompous man.
Eric.
What's his last name?
Scalavino.
Scalavino it is!
Wow, you made
Urban Dictionary.com.
Wow! That's amazing. Do we know who, contributed it?
I don't. I think it might have been his mom or something.
Wow, that is... Congratulations, Eric.
Fred and Andy are the examples.
You can read the sentences.
Number one, the definition of pompous man. Fred, look at that guy with the big nose. Andy, He must be one of those Scalavino people.
Scalavino people.
That's great.
Scalavino.
That's not great, Fred.
It isn't?
I don't want to be associated with that thing.
It's urban
dictionary. You shouldn't act that way.
All right. Let's see. Alex writes in, hello and happy new year to Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Dan Twogender, and Tony Kornheiser. Are you now Tony Kornheiser?
I guess he's taking a shot at me for being
I don't know,
pompous.
But I can hear Twogender laughing through the glass again. Wait a minute. You don't look like Tony Kornheiser.
No, I thought that was more about acting like him.
I'll say one thing about Eric. I'll give Eric props here. At least he has the decency to get it over with and shave the hair off. Kornheiser looks like he's got cancer.
Eric also knows a lot more about football than Kornheiser.
Right.
Wow. Paul.
Wow.
You're moving down on the list.
You really should examine that comment a little bit more closely.
All right, you're moving back up.
All right.
Fat bastard.
Last year, says Paul, first off-season topic, coaches that might be gay. This year, first off-season topic, wedge salad. The future looks promising. And by the way, wedge salads suck.
Thank you. Who's this? I agree.
Alex.
We did a whole show on what coaches might be gay.
Do we need to update that list?
This is a great show. Why did Eric get a job?
All right, you two in the hallway. Let's go. Let's go.
Are you going to fight us all?
I'll fight all of you.
No, he just wants a two-on-one.
I'll take yous all down.
Oh, wow.
You too, Kirsch. I don't care. That's it. Let's go. It's a new year. Getting over a new league.
Alex says, could you elaborate on Charlie Weiss's season? Is it a failure for the regular season record or a success in light of the bowl win?
A failure.
The bowl win?
Oh,
Nobody cares about that. I think it's a disaster over there.
It's a failure.
We had a call yesterday
that wanted to hire Charlie Weiss as the offensive coordinator if McDaniels goes. There's no way he's walking away voluntarily.
No.
Right?
Oh, hell no.
This is his dream to be the head coach.
Unless
he's got a better offer somewhere else.
He's not going to get a better offer.
But he won't be as a head coach.
He makes good money at Notre Dame.
You don't think so?
And he went to the school there. This was where he wanted to be.
No, I know. Yeah,
they're not going to pay him a couple million bucks to be the offensive
coordinator. It really is kind of a shame. You know,
if you recall,
I like having Notre Dame being a good football team. I do.
So do I.
If you recall, there were times when he didn't have a contract. If you remember that, the year before, or 02, 02, 03, his contract ran out, and there was like they negotiated a deal. It wasn't even like they just re-upped. There was.
Well, I remember after the Super Bowl in New Orleans, talking to him at the party afterward, we're going back and forth or something. I said, now you got to come back, right? And he goes, don't give me any of that crap. He's like walked away from me. He was, I think Andy's right. I think that was, he wasn't just automatically
right.
back.
Yeah.
He wasn't just automatically back.
There was negotiation. He thinks pretty highly of himself.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever he's making $2 million a year in Notre Dame, he's not coming here for $800,000 to be the offensive coordinator.
No. I think we've passed Charlie Weiss on. He needs to go a different way.
There comes a point
where you can't go back.
Look, if he were to lose his job, now, right now he's hanging by a thread, but he's still there.
Yeah.
I don't think that he leaves a head coaching job voluntarily to go back and be an assistant.
I don't think so.
No.
I just don't think that's going to happen.
Unless they buy him
And he's not going to go and get another head coaching job anywhere that he's making the money that he's making at Notre Dame.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Maybe he'll be at BC.
Louis writes in, hello, Fred, Andy, Paul, Andy, Eric, and Dan the Man.
What was that in the middle there?
Andick.
It sounded like Andick.
Take your pick. Which one sucks more? One, San Diego Superchargers fighting song.
I kind of like it.
I need
that. That's
option.
The first choice. That's the first choice. Number two is Lawyer Malloy's tackling angles.
That was pretty bad.
I like that one.
That was pretty bad.
Dan's sound bites or Eric teasing Fred with his real age.
Lawyer Malloy. Soundbites.
I never know what the hell he's talking about.
To me, it's a toss-up between San Diego's fighting song and Lawyer Malloy's tackling
Now,
angles.
Do we mean the Lawyer old Malloy.
Fighting
song? I like
San
Diego. I like San Diego's fight song, too.
San Diego, Supercharger! Something out of the 70s.
That's exactly what it's from.
And it was good. You remember the update wasn't good. The rock version.
Oh, that wasn't good.
They played live.
I like this.
This has a lot of Earth, Wind, and Fire to it, Paul.
Yeah, but it doesn't get you pumped up.
Oh, wait.
Yes, it does.
Dan, can you
does?
Can you cue up the Patriots song? Oh, we don't have it.
It's a lot more original than the Miami Dolphins song, which they stole from the Houston Oilers.
That I agree with.
Yeah.
Okay.
F*** yourself, San Diego.
Here's Louis' question. Say you're at Kansas City and you're picking third in the draft.
Okay.
Do you take your chances with Bradford or Stafford? Or are you willing to trade it for a proven QB such as Matt Castle?
Take Castle.
Is Bradford? I thought he was a sophomore.
He hasn't decided.
He
he's
hasn't,
leaving
but,
yet.
He can?
Yeah.
He might be the three
this
years
third
removed
year.
Thing.
Oh, he redshirted?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was a true freshman when he had all those touchdown passes.
Don't believe so.
He was a redshirt freshman.
And Louis says, wouldn't it be cool to have two first-rounders this year, the year after they took it away?
Yes, it would be.
Yep. It would be.
Would have been cool to have last year.
I always like having two first-round picks. Makes the draft a lot more enjoyable.
God, yeah. See, wouldn't it be something, though, that because of Spygate and Mangini, Tannenbaum, they get the first-rounder taken away, but but then they end up getting a first-rounder back, and they get some guy that's just, like, amazing and the future of the franchise, and, you know, they just...
Like they did this past year with Mayo,
right,
who turned out pretty good.
Well, they had that anyway.
Right.
Yeah, but
the
then you get another
one. That is... Everybody keeps saying that, like, well, it'd be nice to get that one back. You're not getting it back.
Right? I understand. Because
you still could have had this one and that one.
If they make a trade with Castle and get a first-round pick, they still lost a first-round pick.
Right. Hey, Fred, there's your hero. It's Billy Mays.
Billy Mays, that's the super
mighty
buddy.
Yeah. You have that now, right?
I do. It hardens very hard. Look, she's got the hose thing. Did you
see
that?
That's what she said.
This is my favorite.
She's got the hose
thing.
Scalding hot coffee. I'm going to put the handle of my mug, and I'm going to use the piece of chewing gum that I just
it's
finished.
Not chewing
gum. It looks like Play-Doh.
And go.
No, but
please don't fall. Please don't fall. Please don't fall.
It's got resin in it.
I'm also going to hang
hardens like
expensive pottery on a shelf that has brackets that I use my chewing gum.
It hardens like concrete.
How quickly does it take?
It takes about
you like when it gets
10
hard
minutes
fast.
To get really hard, about 2 hours to really...
So not like in a commercial where 5 seconds later
if you
want to
sand it and paint it, you got to wait 24 hours.
All right. So it's not quite the quick fix thing that it...
Well, it'll stay up after 10 minutes. Don't wiggle it around or anything.
That's what she said.
Now he's just doing it on purpose.
The one thing I think is really a legitimate use, I don't think any of the uses are realistic, but the pipe. Like, if I had a little pipe that was leaking, if I could really just jam that on, it would
stop it
from
leaking. Starting in 2009.
Right. That's not a bad idea.
We're going to lay more pipe.
But my guess is I would put that on and water would be everywhere. He doesn't put in...
Oh, my God.
He only puts in weird ones that make no sense. If you want an actual sound bite, don't ask Dan.
Unbelievable.
Wow. He's busy flirting with Amelia online.
Andy, not happy.
Amelia. Is that with an A or an E?
Mostly with an A. My niece, who was just born 3 months ago...
Amelia?
...is with an E. Yeah. They call her Emmy.
Instead of Amy.
A lot of people upset with Paul and his love of the Mannings. Stephen Ames writes in, Paul, the Mannings are a bunch of hillbillies. Apparently your admiration of them clouds your memory. I remember Eli telling San Diego, if you draft me, I won't play.
I didn't like that.
What a punk. And I'm sure that he got that advice from his dad. They always get more credit than they deserve from the media. These MVP awards are just plain annoying. The Indy running back should have got that Super Bowl MVP. The Giants D-line should have got it last year. I can't believe we couldn't catch at least one of those picks he kept throwing up there. Yes, now we have one more Manning to eliminate from the playoffs, so the Super Bowl announcers won't make me want to puke during this great event. Maybe Samuel can catch some of those picks he throws this year. Now my rant is over, and you can go back to coveting those hillbillies. I thought Eric was supposed to play the gay role.
I agree with the Eli Manning thing when he was drafted. I don't like that. John
Elway
is my favorite quarterback of all time, and I hated when he did it too. But you know, that's just the way it goes. I mean, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with holding teams hostage and stuff like that. But I just think, as a general rule, when you're dealing with guys like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, they do very little to put their teams in negative lights. I think that they're pretty good, upstanding teammates and whatnot, and they're good players. But for some reason, it's more, you know, it's more comical to call him a hillbilly.
Let's see.
I don't have a problem with it because in Indy they should be calling Brady like the Metro model, blah blah blah. You know what I mean? Like,
but they wouldn't say that he sucks. That's the
difference.
I have no problem with hating the guy because he's the rival of the team. Like I said on Tuesday, I hated Dan Marino with a passion. I hated Joe Montana with a passion. I hated those guys, but they were great. They were great quarterbacks. I don't particularly want Peyton Manning to do well because he plays for Indianapolis, and we all know what I feel about the Colts and Bill Polian.
The pouty-faced farm boy thing, because it gets back to my whole
theory.
That's
what I would make fun of.
When you want to make fun of somebody, you just pick part of their makeup, their character.
The Peyton Manning face is funny to me.
Like I call you Fat Paul.
Right.
You're fat.
But you know how Patriots fans, they say, how long before we get the Manning face? I think that's funny. because he does do that.
He does it.
Right.
In Marino, I used to make fun of for yelling at everybody.
Right, right, right. Perfect.
You
know? What do you make fun of Montana for?
I ran out. He was just too good.
Right. But, I mean, he doesn't really, to me, have any of those glaring...
I hate him.
No, he doesn't.
He was just so cool.
He was so...
Yeah, you're really cool.
He didn't stick out until it was time to make a play.
I didn't like him because he won all the time. Right. I couldn't come up with any other logical reason, Andy. You're absolutely right.
Plus, he's all the way on the other coast. Jason Dvorkin, the doctor, who's on top of everything media... says about the DirecTV changeover. The Consumers Union has said that DirecTV or digital TV deadlines should be moved. The NTIA, which is some thing, whatever
acronym.
It is, national something, has been forced to put more than 100,000 consumers on waiting lists for the coupons for those boxes. So,
yeah, but you can just go out and buy the box.
Yeah, but
if you're looking for the government to pay for it, you got to wait for the coupon.
But, you know, the government's forcing you to have – they're not asking to have digital TV. The government is mandating it, so they're
– No, but you can go get cable and do nothing.
Chris Simonelli says
that – Eric is really mad.
Chris Simonelli says that the wedge salad at Fleming's is amazing.
Fleming's, good stuff.
Never been to Fleming's.
Fleming's,
I'm sure it is,
good.
But who gives – I mean, don't you go to get a
Why
steak?
Why are you so mad?
Why
you,
salads?
You like to call
stupid.
Me an angry little man.
You don't like
even
salads
you call me
anyway,
fat all the time.
Salads have a ceiling, Fred. We've been over this 1,000 times.
You get so mad.
I asked him yesterday what didn't have a ceiling food wise. He throws out lemon meringue pie.
No ceiling.
Right off the bat.
But it didn't even take a
second. Didn't take a second.
It was like when we asked you what your alternate name would be, and you just, I don't know, Jake Steele. That's how fast he came up with lemon meringue
and
pie.
And then I went on to say.
And then you went on to add Italian
good
food
steak,
and a
good
steak.
Italian food.
They don't have
but
ceiling.
But you started off with lemon meringue pie.
Well, what do you mean
I'm
by
never
ceiling?
Happy.
Like, you can only like it so much?
Well,
no,
I would
it
say
can
this.
Only be so
a
good.
Great soup can only be so good.
I'll use Paul Perillo's type of terminology. Randy Moss has no ceiling. Wes Welker has a ceiling.
Now why do you got to take it there?
Wes Welker is a wedge salad.
Listen, they're already calling me fat ass. They're already all over me today. Don't take it there.
Fred loves wedge salads. He loves Wes Welker.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like Andy's example I agree with. Soup. I like soup.
You ever have a lobster brie?
No. I mean
a lobster
bisque. Fred.
Bisque.
Paul and I don't eat seafood.
I know you don't believe us, but we don't like seafood. But anyway, I like soup. But it can only be so good.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
See?
I'm not rich.
You don't know from soup, then, if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
soup. Is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
But you have a good lobster biscuit just...
Because is a stew a soup, or is it
no
a stew?
No soup for you.
It's like sex for your
is
throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
No, but seriously, a soup is a soup. A chowder is a chowder. A stew is a stew.
No, there's They're good different. Chowders and there's great chowders. And then there's bad chowders.
No, I know, but a chowder is not a soup.
I put them all in the same category.
What would you do, Prince of Pomposity?
Well, I wouldn't have anything with lobster or
no.
Clam
is it chowder or a soup or just a separate?
I would kind of agree with Fred. It's sort of
yeah,
in the
menu
category.
It's in the same
it's
category.
It's in the soup category.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Because you can really dress up a chowder or a
stew. Oh,
sure
you can, but you don't put it in a separate category in the menu.
Well, they're essentially a whole meal. A soup is not a whole meal.
Oh, now you're talking about a stew.
Right.
A stew is not a stew. A stew is different.
You said chowder. You said
chowder and stew. I think a big bowl of chowder is a meal.
Yeah, but it's not a
stew. Especially you pour the cream in.
But it depends on the restaurant.
If you had a big bowl of chicken soup, that could be your meal, too.
It depends on the restaurant.
You pee that out 10 minutes later and you're hungry.
You go some places that have like
now you
want to
talk
Chinese food.
But you might be thinking about a goulash.
I don't know what a goulash is.
Which is a kind of stew, but it's not a chowder at all.
We've done it again.
Yep. What is goulash? Is that like during the Depression you threw whatever you
had?
Yeah,
you know, it's Hungarian type
thing. During the Depression you just threw whatever you had.
Well, we're in one now, so we might have to start doing that again. Yeah,
but you don't want to get any of those mixed up with gruel, which is kind of just
that's
water.
Just like grits.
Isn't that
right?
Slop that they kind of got at the, you know.
That's like grits. Yeah. That's like Oliver Twist food.
Gruel, yeah.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Should probably move on.
Let's
before
see.
Before we really offend somebody.
James writes in, Happy New Year and a belated happy birthday to Eric. The Eric,
thank you.
The regular
what'd
season,
you get for your birthday? I don't really ask for things.
That doesn't mean you don't get anything.
I thought he was going to say.
I don't ask for anything either, but I get a present on my birthday.
No, I don't because I don't. Ask. I don't
your
tell people
dad,
I want things.
Don't like you either.
Is this a sad story?
Yeah.
About to hear
no, I just. I'm
your parents don't get you anything?
I tell them not to. I don't want things.
Well, I tell my wife not to, too, but
right.
She comes home
exactly.
with an iPod.
Exactly.
That's not funny.
I detected a tone of sadness.
There was no tone of sadness. No. I underplay my birthday.
Did you spend your birthday alone highlighting the Reagan book?
Lubricants.
No.
No?
Lubricants.
See, lubricants alone is okay.
It better, I mean, better alone than
right.
The alternative.
We make fun of Eric for using lubricants with others. Sorry.
All right.
Are you finished?
He's getting impatient.
That was Andy, not me.
Is your mom...
Shut up,
no,
Andy.
This is a serious question. Are they back in the Harleys?
On the bikes?
Saddle? It's too cold.
Well, it's too cold right now. And it's too much ice on the ground. But yeah, but before the
but
winter...
But is she on the road to a hog?
Your
what?
Mom goes
no!
To college.
This is a serious question. She was working her way up to a Harley.
Right.
And she had a little incident, didn't
she? Had a little incident, but she was recovered enough that she was able to ride the scooter before winter
How
started.
Old is she?
She is 61.
She's not far off from the 77-year-old sledding. She gets her when she's in her 70s riding her Harley.
Excuse me, 60.
I want her.
She's 60.
I want a story about her in the paper if she gets hurt riding her motorcycle while in
her
70s.
Oh, yeah, we have a story about an old woman in an accident.
Read
it's
Fred
kind
the
of funny.
Paragraph. That is a real news story from the
Headline.
Bedford Standard Times.
Headline. 77-year-old woman recovering from sledding accident. If that doesn't make you laugh right off the bat.
Okay.
This was in Westport, Mass.
Yeah.
Helen Whipple, the former organist at Westport Point United Methodist Church, is recovering in a Boston rehabilitation hospital after she was hurt in a sledding accident on December 20th. Mrs. Whipple, 77, said she is accustomed to sledding on a red saucer. But when she joined her son on a large tube, quote, we flipped over. She said her son was fine, but she did, quote, a couple of backflips, after which, quote, felt like total paralysis, end quote.
She's 77 and she did a, quote, couple backflips.
Good for her for getting on it.
Doesn't it sound like one of those Bob Doyle stories that he used to write for The Onion?
That's
unbelievable.
Right. Who wrote it?
It has no author.
No, it would be funny if it was that jerk that we don't like.
I don't think he's employed.
I don't think he's...
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
Oh,
I said it. I can't take it back.
yeah, I think he's no longer employed.
Really?
Well, I have no problem with that.
What are they doing for
you
coverage?
You reap what you sow.
AP stuff? And...
I don't know.
A guy who constantly said... A guy who constantly made reference to the fact that he could sleep till noon and do his job every day. I don't feel bad when he's out of work.
And he couldn't
right,
really do that.
Right, you can only sleep till 11.
Oh.
I haven't slept that long since I was
When you have kids, that's
since he had
that's
a Sunday radio
window.
Show and called in, I overslept.
No, it's kids.
Yeah, but you think that I actually slept.
James Cuffs, the
award-winning
email I want to get to. Well, the regular season is over, and for the first time in 5 years, there's no Patriots in the postseason, which is strange. I have to say that this season was interesting to follow, and I have never been so proud to be a Patriot fan. However, I don't believe that this was Bill's best coaching job, as many are saying, because nobody will come close to the job he did in 01, but he came pretty close and probably deserved more than one Coach of the Year nomination. With all the injuries we faced to key players, the most notable, the one in week one, to go 11-5 was fantastic and far from the prediction I made in that first quarter against the Chiefs. I also wondered what you guys thought about Ron Borges' article, which said that the loss of Asante Samuel was the reason why the Patriots aren't in the playoffs. Anyway, thanks for another great season of shows, and here's to 09 with Tom Brady back at the helm.
I agree.
Did you think that Borges was just looking for a fight with that Samuel article?
I think he went overboard, but
I thought he was
I agree
kind of
with
stating
the
obvious.
Because maybe they would have made the playoffs with Samuel, but they would have made the playoffs maybe with Brady or you know.
Right. But, he was making a point because of the weekend action that Asante Samuel was running down the sideline, scoring a touchdown, making a big play in a big game.
Right.
I think it was just kind of stating the obvious.
Right. But I think you don't think they would have been in the playoffs if Samuel
even
played?
Without Brady, with Samuel, they're in the playoffs.
I think so. Sure.
That's how I feel. I mean, there's no way of knowing who's right or who's wrong, but my opinion is...
I think he would have made enough plays back there.
His secondary was bad enough all year that he would have helped him.
Enough plays.
Right.
To,
especially in a game like San Diego where it was completely exposed.
Or the Jets.
Absolutely. Or the Jets, right.
Let's see.
Although that was a lot of over the middle
stuff. This is just handed to me by 2G. And this is 124 off of Pro Football Talk. Rumors mount of Pioli to Chiefs. We continue to be flooded with emails from folks who claim that the Pats VP of player personnel, Scott Pioli, will soon be introduced as the new GM of the Kansas City Chiefs. Though it's our general understanding that these reports are premature at best, the tight lid that the Chiefs have kept on the situation makes it very hard to know precisely what in the hell is going on out there. Len Dawson, formerly the Chiefs and currently of KMBC-TV in Kansas City, generally cites reports around the country indicating that Pioli will be hired by the Chiefs before pointing out only the Eagle Tribune, our guess is as good as yours, actually it's in North Andover, Mass., in support of the notion that the deal is done and that the only step remaining is for Pioli to sign the contract. Also, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City reported on Wednesday that the Chiefs have offered the GM job to Pioli, but there's no one else saying anything. So
that's Bill Burt, the Lawrence Eagle Tribune.
I would think.
Yeah.
Just to let the listeners know, when I was on yesterday, I told you, Fred, you guys this when I got in this morning. As soon as I walked into EEI yesterday, there were two different people saying, yeah, it looks like Pioli is pretty much going to Kansas City. I don't know where they're hearing that from, but they certainly would not be surprised to hear that that's close.
Well, and if that is the case, it's too bad for the Patriots, but what will be the ripple effects? Will he try to take Josh McDaniels? Will he try to take other people from the Patriots? What will happen if he does take that job?
Well, that will be interesting.
I think that's an option, but if what we're hearing out of Denver is true,
yeah,
then maybe that will be a moot point.
Does Herm Edwards get fired?
Yes.
You know, so there's a lot of action still,
of course,
going on here.
And we're back to Matt Castle as well.
Right. Let's see. Matt in Massachusetts says, great show and great website. That'd be pfwinprogress.com, I am assuming.
Take note, Chris Ferreira.
An idiot, I would assume.
I think patriots.com is so good that people take it for granted. I really do.
All right, keep thinking that.
I wondered if we could add a category for hottest imaginary girlfriend next year, as Paul in London seems to be pulling an Eric on the pfwinprogress.com forums.
Well, what's he doing?
I guess he's claiming
apparently
a
posted
girlfriend.
A picture that he claimed as his girlfriend that was some picture he got off some, like, Chick Finder website or something.
Wow.
There's a little scandal brewing in the forums of PFW Progress. Naughty
interesting.
Stuff.
Interesting.
Wow. Paul in London, huh?
I'm excited about this London trip, Fred. Are you?
Are you? I am, sure. I don't know the details. Hopefully we'll be able to go.
Eric guys, we'll be able to go.
I mean, for longer than, like, Saturday before the game. Because remember, it's only a six-hour plane ride.
Right, which is like going to the West Coast.
Right.
And we stay
there. So maybe
we'll
go on Friday, but I hope we go earlier in the week so we can see some things.
Fred, I looked it up. Every team that's gone has gone there on Monday so far.
That is incorrect.
Well, who?
Some teams have gone Thursday.
What?
Yep. That is incorrect.
I'm just going off the top of my head. So I didn't look up anything.
Well, I'm not looking forward to it as much as we're not going there for the whole week.
Yeah, I thought they all went.
Miami, the Giants, San Diego, New Orleans, I thought were there for the whole week.
I'm pretty sure they were. They left after their Sunday game.
I don't think
and
so.
Then,
I was told that.
I know for a fact San Diego did because we had played them right before that, and I know they were going to Buffalo the following week and going right from
Buffalo.
Yeah,
they went. They absolutely did. Yes, they did. Anyway.
It's not going to be as fun if we're not there for the whole week.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
I don't think there's any way that we're not there.
I agree.
What? Don't forget about the economy,
Paul.
Well,
I don't mean us. I mean the Patriots.
Don't forget about the economy.
I said the Patriots, not us.
I'm talking about the Patriots.
But, Fred, isn't this game a part of the – I mean, a part of doing it is to be an ambassador, to promote the game. And you can't do that if you just fly in Sunday morning and play.
I understand. I understand.
So if you're not going to go – I mean, if you're not going to go the whole way, you shouldn't go at all.
Just don't assume anything. Mark in Cheddar, England.
Paul sighing over there.
Mark in Cheddar, England says, I've been listening all season. Great show, especially Fred. Oh, and Andy, whatever happened to Mike Hart at Indy? I thought he was meant to be huge, according to you, along with Golston. I suppose.
Whoa. I never said Mike Hart was going to be anything.
No?
I said I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Guy had more carries.
Andy's not a big fan of Mike Hart.
No. I like him.
Other than his last name.
And he seems like a very nice man and well intelligent. You talk to him, but
I think the words you used was, you know, I could see him having a 10-year career as a special teamer.
Yeah, and a backup. Like every once in a while, he'll have a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis 100-yard game once a season.
Mark says, I suppose you are not a good talent evaluator, but you are good on PFW. And Eric and Paul, hello.
Hey.
It was brilliant season for the Patriots, all things considered. I think Peyton Manning is one of the most overrated players currently playing, but nonetheless, he won the MVP award somehow. How could someone else win Offensive Player of the Year? Surely if you are MVP, you are also the Offensive Player of the Year.
Not surely.
No, not necessarily.
Oftentimes not. I can
offensive
see
player of the year is like statistically.
Yeah, no,
like
I can see how the distinction
up.
Could be made.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Steve McNair won NFL MVP, and he probably had like 22 touchdowns or something. Like he didn't put
he
up
didn't
huge
put
numbers,
numbers up
but he was yet. Perceived as the
most important
player.
To his team.
He tied with Manning.
Let's see. Scott, New Hampshire, I'm listening to the second hour now. I missed the first hour because the stream was flaky. Did you happen to talk about the Patriots or football in the first hour? I'm trying to figure out if I should bother to listen for the first hour later.
Of course you should.
We talked a lot of Patriots. We often lead with
the
Patriots.
Person that
these first
like
two
us.
Off-season shows have been of 09 have been great.
We often lead with the Patriots.
I didn't say always.
Mensa from the Bronx. I hope you all have a happy and successful new year. I was thinking you guys might come out with a new attitude, but as I can see, you're all sounding like the desperate house husbands. Please stop talking about food and talk about football. That
oh,
is Mensa so this from the Bronx.
This is why we can't do three shows a week. The guys that want us to do extras, there are not enough of you out there that like the nonsense that we talk about.
It's unfortunate that there aren't.
Boy, this is a real Todd has a real mean email.
Oh boy.
He calls Chris Ferreira Cordell Ferreira. he dyed his hair from auburn
funny?
To brown. Did he dye his pubes to match? The boys at the manhole don't like it if the curtains don't match the carpet. I'm actually surprised he'd pay for hair dye. They were probably giving away samples at the local CVS pharmacy.
He probably stole it.
Or he was in disguise when the cops were looking for him after the great potato chips heist.
That could be true. Maybe it was a
maybe he
disguise,
knocked off a,
yeah.
You know.
Thick boys at the manhole.
And Chris from formerly
Eric,
the Bronx, now from Stanford, just watched that NFL ad with Delhomme and no tongue ring. It's the reflection of the camera lights reflecting off the back of his mouth. Any comments, Andy, on that? No?
Well, he did have a strange look.
Yeah. Since it's the offseason, would you guys consider having some kind of PFW listener gathering this spring? You could host listeners, give away prizes, have the Eric Gostkowski kick competition, and play music. Great stuff.
Play music.
Yeah, maybe you guys... Well,
we're going to have a mixer?
We should change this contest to like a horse-type kickoff contest.
No.
Maybe we could do a big event and Patriot Place gets involved, the whole thing. Bass
do you remember
Pro?
When Akers and Vinatieri went to the Pro Bowl and they did one of those the night before? It was very good.
With fans or against them?
Yeah, they did like a little contest.
And they were kicking from like the end line. Yeah. You had to like sneak it through the goalposts. And it was kind of
like
a horse.
All the way on
it
was horse, right? It was horse.
That's what I just said.
You know that sport that you beat.
You're not that good at.
Right. And it's actually a sport.
It's yeah, according to Fred.
He says it sucked to have the Patriots out of the playoffs, but it's fun to listen to you guys. Keep it up. So there's someone who likes listening to us.
That's Chris.
It's my phone. What?
What is that new ring?
From the Bronx?
Is that like in
Stanford?
Asian?
I
got to
get a new phone, Andy.
Why? Yeah, what is
that
noise, Fred?
I can't send texts back to people anymore. It won't let it go through. It keeps saying an error. And now I can't retrieve my voicemail.
Well, you do have an archaic phone.
Yeah, it's pretty old.
You don't have cameras. You don't have...
Well, I don't want a camera.
Your phone.
But I, you
should
know,
get an iPhone.
I need the other stuff.
Occasionally.
Yeah, that would be the right solution for me. That's exactly what
Mr.
I need.
Mr. Technology wants an iPhone?
So I could actually make a call on it. That is the only thing I would use it for.
Kevin writes in,
doesn't do that.
Does McDaniels need to worry about losing an opportunity to get the perfect job? He's young, so can't he just wait 3 or 4 years after Belichick retires and stay in Foxborough?
Well, why does everyone assume that people want to stay put?
And not to
No, but he could be the heir apparent. He would take over.
In 20 years, 30 years, 12?
Nobody knows
when
Bill's going to hang it up.
Plus, and I'm also
I don't
want to
follow Bill.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, too. How do we know that that's Josh McDaniels' perfect job?
Right.
Because it would be anyone's perfect
no.
job.
No,
I agree with Bill.
Is the worst job
the worst
on the
guy to be is the guy who follows the legend.
That's true.
That's the worst guy to be.
What's that term I learned in the radio business?
You want to be the guy after
they have
the
like
guy.
Like a whitewasher. When they get rid of a legendary host, they bring in someone they think is going to fail. To kind of cleanse the airwaves and get rid of the memories of the old, and then they bring in the real replacement later.
You want to be the guy after the guy.
Okay. Strippers
Eric's always the guy after.
Strippers is saying, let me guess, no one is picking Oklahoma tonight.
I am. I'm picking Oklahoma.
Picking and rooting.
And I'm rooting for you. You better not let me down.
What happened? That was a good one, Eric.
And thanks, by the way, for the Adrian Peterson stats. And I did kind of remember that he wasn't overly impressive in the bowl games.
Wasn't he hurt? Like,
well, he got full. He was like 25 for 84, 24 for 72 or something. It was all high carry
total.
He had
a bad shoulder in one of them.
He might have. He might have just been coming off that separated shoulder 1 year, I think. 2 years. maybe three years ago.
Breaking news. Al Davis has interviewed Tom Cable, apparently.
Oh, there you go.
So he started.
So he took his walker out and walked down the hall.
Yep.
Anyway, I think that Peterson didn't look great on Sunday. That's what made me think of it. He had the one touchdown run, but even with that, his numbers weren't overly impressive.
Some of the collisions with Dawkins.
Oh, whew. Dawkins played a game and a half.
He's great.
Larry the Drunk writes in, guys, he's not listening live because he's studying in the library, but he got his code to purchase club seats for the Wembley game, 120 pounds sterling. Thank God the pound's weakening against the euro, or I'd be whoring myself out to see my Patriots kick some Tampa butt.
All right, I'm going to need a conversion. 240?
120 pounds sterling.
The pound, I believe, is about one.
A pint, the world around?
$1.30-ish, I think.
Between a dollar 30 down then, because it was about twice. It was about 2-1.
I always confuse the pound and the euro.
Well, it's completely different.
I know that, but I mean, I confuse the conversion of the two of them because I.
Well, the pound was about double
the pound was about two.
About a, you know, last year. I don't know what it is now.
It's not that high.
So whatever
in an economy that changes by the minute. Fred is going by what it was last year.
When I was over in London.
One of them's about $1.75.
Over in London, it was $4 a gallon for gas. It's $1.60.
And the other one's under $1.50.
Chris also says that according to the dictionary.com, a soup is a liquid food made by boiling or simmering meat, fish, or vegetables with various added ingredients. Chowders, bisques, and stews are all soups.
I agree. If that's the definition of soup, then they're all soups.
So I think a stew is different.
It just says it isn't.
It's in the soup category.
I don't care. That's just dictionary.com.
Plus, I don't think you boil a stew. You simmer.
I don't know.
You don't boil it. It's not a soup.
That's true.
It's soup-like.
Well, you don't boil soup either, really.
I don't know. What's it?
You don't really boil it, do you? Do you boil soup?
I'll be honest with you.
Paul doesn't do any cooking.
I open the can. I put it in a bowl, put it in the microwave, and then a minute and a half later, it's done.
All right. Well, speaking of done, so is this show.
So is our career.
We made it to the actual end of the show, though,
yeah,
today.
It's nice.
We will
started late.
We will be here next Tuesday. And, of course, keep checking on Patriots.com for all the latest Patriots news that comes out of Pioli perhaps leaving, perhaps staying. We don't know. But we'll be on top of it, and we'll see you next Tuesday.